Welcome to the Trump Report, an edition of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And it's Dr. Frank Tenbury, 5 years that we've been doing this. And it's been an interesting ride. I'm not sure what we'll do. I'm sure, Frank is not going to be without stuff to say. But the I'm looking at a future that is devoid of dependency on what somebody in Washington does. This is what my biggest fear going into the Trump era was, is that when he won, which surprised me, they allowed him to, overcome the algorithm. It was, people were going to say, the system works. Look, we have a chance. We can do it. It's rebooted. We're, America. And I'm going, yeah, that's when you get in trouble. That's how they collectivize you into one bucket, and then they put somebody else in charge of the handle. And that's what's happened. And while Trump was in there, there were a lot of things that could have been done and the pardons that he could have done. There's a lot, but then there's negotiation. It's art of the deal. And what's being negotiated is you, your rights, your influence, your voice is what's being negotiated for something else. And that's what I was afraid of. Last night we did James Corbett and I did a podcast where both of us over the last year have been building towards solutions. 2021 is not going to be anywhere near the same as 2020. There'll be the same kind of things going on and fear tactics and, oh my God, and they're coming to get us. But it's bad when they get the space aliens. I mean, that's coming. Sooner or later, building up to that. That's going to be the thing. We got to get the Earth together on, one thing. And if they got to build them, man, I mean, whatever they got to do. So they're here already, whatever. I mean, it's coming. So in the meantime, I'm going, we need to be self-reliant. That used to be what was the inspiration to the rest of the world, was America's Yankee ingenuity. We'll adapt and overcome. That was one of the things that you could count on the American people, the culture that, Frank likes to go on a lot about, is that we would adapt and overcome. I think the demonstration of that in 2021 is going to be where our focus is. We've detailed and archived over 500,000 headlines on Freedom's Phoenix, thousands of hours of interviews with many influencers and top end of they know what's up and making things happen. And I can see the future is going to be not a collectivization of we're going to take it on together. We're all in this together kind of thing. No, you're all supported to do it your damn self. So that's where I'm going to be spending my focus. And it starts like, a year ago, or from the beginning, but it's no more obvious than now. So this is the day after. It's that final Trump report. I don't know what we wind up calling it, or what we'll do. But Frank and I, this is the day after the inauguration. At the top of Freedom's Phoenix right now, I'm going to get Donna to put it into the archive for today's show. It's called The Children's Story by James Clavell. James Clavell is the writer of Shogun and Taipei and Noble House and a bunch of historical novels that I learned a lot from. I read probably almost all his books. And he did a play that was done in the 70s, early 80s or so. It was a mobile oil sponsored, playhouse, United Kingdom thing of something that they did a short play. It was about 20 something minutes. And it was based on today, the day after the takeover by the communist. It was today, the day after the new teacher comes into the room of South Park kids. I mean, they're that 11, 12 year old thing, it's fifth, sixth grade kind of deal. They come in and we are the new ones. And we won. We're in charge now. And how the propaganda and how she turned their minds, it was brilliantly done in 15 minutes. And you watch this just the morning, the new teacher comes in and explains it to them. And it started with what I did with my grandchildren. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. I go, all right, what's pledge mean? What's allegiance mean? Well, that's how she started. She twisted it into, you know, something else. So this is, we don't explain, we don't treat our young people as adults. And it goes into where they try and keep you a child till you're, now it's 26, 28 or something. You're on your parents' insurance and mandated under the roof of multi-generational of you're in your storage container forever. And I put that at the top. It came up again yesterday on the Telegram. And I'm going, yeah. Now, I remember what that story was about. And we just first published it probably, it was in August. So in August 25th, we put it up for the first time that I had seen it. And I go, this story, this play, this was done by a famous author, done on a big, you know, a program nationwide of whatever, scaring us about the Soviet Union or communism taking over. It was time to be for today, the day after we were taken over. Election fraud, you know, missile, whatever. So this is, I'm going to leave it up all day, and I highly recommend that you watch The Children's Story by James Clavell. Now, it keeps going, getting taken off of different platforms, so the guys put it on IPFS to where it can never be taken down, certainly not as long as I'm around. So we have it up there, so it's available for download, and you can keep it forever. And that's where the internet is going now, is because they're trying to take this stuff down. Now, for the they just now, in the last few days, started to deplatform James Corbett. He has a strike. He's got a week that he can't upload. Here it comes. We're shocked it took this long. But fortunately, we've been setting up mechanisms that this stuff doesn't go away. So today is the beginning of a new focus. A lot of people that pay attention to Donna and I and what we do at Freedom's Phoenix and Declare Your Independence and the Love Bus Liberty Tour and PiratesWithoutBorders.com and all the IPFS stuff and the archiving of important data and, you know, all that has been in preparation for this year. Donna and I, for the past few days, you know, Dr. Frank came out here, kind of see the area. We're looking for land around the state, and there's some places here we might get. This is where I think we're going to be making the stand. And what stand do you make? One of them is forced vaccinations. I am, you know, that's fortunately, you know, I'm almost 60, and I'm willing to go down on that hill. That's not happening. That's so bad. And it's one of the primary things that we're going to resist as much as we can. So that's where I'm heading into the future. And Frank, you know, what's your thoughts after last? And I didn't even watch the inauguration. I kind of had it in the background, and I heard a couple of words of him and unity and whatever behind his fence line with 25,000 troops. So somebody will watch, I guess, something. I don't know what's happened, if there's been any, you know, consternation that went on, or does anybody care? What's going on, Frank? What's your opening?
Wow. well, thank, that was a, I appreciate it. I'm going to check out that video. I'm curious, how long is it? Just curious.
26 minutes, I think.
Excellent. I will definitely check it out. And yeah, it's, so, well, welcome everyone to the Trump Report, or the after Trump Report, whatever. Not to make this too lighthearted, but I am, my wife and I were trying to think as well as with Tarzan Keith about what to call this. We don't really know. Is it the Biden Report? Is it the Freedom Report? I have no idea. So I'm going to just, you know, I couldn't think of anything. I'm usually pretty creative. I'm going to throw it out to the audience. You guys, shoot Ernie an email and, you know, for some ideas. You know, I know as far as freedom and such, that's what Ernie's show is typically. You know, this show tends to be kind of, I guess, the weekly roundup of the political scene. The one thing that kind of abhors Ernie, that, you know, his thing is, I just don't care. But at the same time, you have to care because it's involving, you know, you and our lives. It's sort of like a, it's like tech taxes, you know, a necessary evil. So, so it's a political kind of roundtable in essence. So whatever you got, whatever ideas you have, that would be great. But yeah, so there's a number of things I'd like to chat about during the show. We have things like about the inauguration itself. I'll tap on things of, I don't want to make this too much of a of a long show about Trump per se, even though it's the Trump Report. But I want to talk about some of the successes that Trump wound up doing beyond some of the obvious. I think there's some things that people have just recently sort of figuring out. And I think many of the successes, or at least some of the issues that he brought up, will become much more obvious in the next 2 and 4 years. And that's kind of echoing what you're talking about. And I think it's going to be a wild ride for that. And it starts off, in essence, of just last night. I mean, during the inauguration, proving that Orange Man is bad, he's been conquered, you know, the fascist, evil fascist and all. And I don't know if you're even aware of what happened last night, but there were massive riots up in Portland and Seattle. I mean, thousands of people came out. They trashed the DNC headquarters up in Seattle. They took down the original Starbucks up in Seattle, and was it Pike's Place or whatever it is? I mean, we're talking the anti-fascist Antifa went and Black Lives Matter rioted last night, and no one even knows about it. And now, why would they be rioting?
Brown shirts always get taken out first.
Yeah, well, exactly. So this is going to be something that's going to kind of make their heads spin, sort of like, and we'll also talk today about the whole QAnon thing. You and I think to our credit, never got suckered too much into that whole QAnon. It was tempting, and certainly, like you would say, well, if QAnon's right, then they better get on it soon. I do think the whole thing was a psyop. We can chat about that. But that's being difficult for a lot of people. I'm sure that you and I both know who've been sending us emails all the time, like, Frank, check this out. You know, the Barack Obama is already in handcuffs over in Germany and all this stuff we've been hearing. We're like, really? But of course, that has now, you know, and not to mock anyone with this, but how many people who followed that are now absolutely crestfallen or their mind is blown, going, well, where's the plan? I mean, Trump just got on a plane, said goodbye, you know, like, wait. I mean, that's a whole issue to itself. But at the same time, you have Antifa, and you have people on the left or Democrats, moderates, you know, our family and friends who've turned on us because they think we're evil fascists, and Black Lives Matter, Antifa is all anger against the Orange Man because you guys are just racists and all of the pablum lies that they've been told. And now that he's gone, where's the peace? Where's the tranquility? I mean, he's having his inauguration and they're rioting, and they didn't take out the Republican convention. The Republican center. They took out the Democrat headquarters. I mean, it's like, and this is their side, the side that literally within a couple votes almost toppled Nancy Pelosi. So they are, and of course we talked on the show, Antifa talked about how they said, I mean, there was on Project Veritas, were caught saying privately that they want Biden to win because he's weak. He's the one that they can really challenge. They were afraid of Trump because he would fight back. But of course, this is the sucker that the suckers that our friends and family were stuck into. And this is just like with the QAnon people trying to wrap their head around this new reality that they've been lied to. I think many moderates and many Americans who got suckered are going to realize real quick they were suckered, because how much do you keep blaming Trump when you control the Senate and the House and the presidency and Orange Man bad and he's gone and what have you? I mean, who are these people fighting against? They're fighting against their own people. And okay, they're going to realize real quick. They got rid of their own defender.
This is number one story download on Freems Phoenix right now. Okay. This is, somebody found this, man, it's rock and roll and whatnot. Trump signed Executive Order 1384 in case of voter fraud. Now, this is dated November 9th, 2020. Now, I'll bet that is very near or within a couple of days of the this is when we first had it up. Now, this is 11/9. This is, you know, right after the 2020 election cycle, but it was an executive order that was put up September 12th, 2018. So this is the executive order 1384 that he did right before the 18 election cycle. So a lot of people, I would imagine, that this would be for election fraud done in the 18 election cycle. Was it, or could it apply to also the 2020? Well, the timing of this is all, is it part of the PSYOP? Is it giving the power? Was it a threat? Was it part of the, you know, negotiation that he did with them? Part of the deal? Was it, you know, I don't know. And I freaking so past giving a crap. I am tired of playing with these guys. So what we have here is this Donald Trump executive order signed in September of 18 that could have an impact on the 18 election cycle. Sure as heck could be used in the 21, and it's just ignored. I didn't, everybody's trying, oh, he did it, he knew, here it comes, we're going to, nothing. So, go ahead. Frank, I still got you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, I mean, comment.
You're cut off.
You're here, now everybody's worked up about it, and he's out of office. All of a sudden, it's the number one downloaded, and Biden took over. What the hell are they doing it now? Who the hell's doing this now? Why do they care now?
You mean as far as the vote? Yeah. I mean, I just got
the story of somebody signed in 18.
Right. So, well, there's a lot. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of this transition of what's going on. I mean, I just feel like there's. Yeah, I mean, at this point, there's so many things that I think, like you talk about the 2-week rule after a shooting or so. I think, you know, this is going to be an interesting unraveling. 3 weeks. I mean, you've got a few things. I'm going to throw some stuff out. I know each one of these is a bomb to be talking about, or we're going to go off some tangents maybe. But for instance, I think the big picture is, you know, Donald Trump is trying to figure out what his next move is. And I think the movement, and this is what happens. I mean, this is, you know, it's like what happened after the King George went up, you know, attacking and doing things to our country. And then all of a sudden, all these individual separate colonies, you know, were kind of discombobulated, and they just weren't sure what to do. And they just created a committee, which was the Continental Congress the first time. And, you know, historians have always said that not much came out of the Continental Congress, except that you had 13 individual colonies that began ticking as one, you know, different clocks ticking as one. And that was something where I think is going to start to happen as we start to restructure everything. And I think many of it bodes to what you've been talking about, maybe not quite as much. I think you and I make a good team. I know people have told us off the air is that we both kind of hit the two extremes of where I think the reality is going to go. Because from you, it's about turning your back on the system and being independent, going pirate, doing everything separate. And I see that happening. You know, I talked last week. I don't think you and Charles, I don't think we're this. It's interested in my point on this. But the idea of a parallel economy with everything, you know, having if, I mean, you've got 50% or more of the market share for everything. If the airlines, because, you know, the government's never going to say that it's mandatory to have a vaccine. What they've done is they spent decades basically co-opting all the private businesses. So we have crony capitalism. So they're not really private, even though your dumbass, you know, Democrat friends keep claiming that all of a sudden free market, private, they can do whatever they want. But they're not really private when they actually are, you know, co-opted by the CIA and the feds, and they get corporate bailouts and this and that, and they owe all kinds of favors. And if you're an airline, for instance, who can't even keep afloat, or, you know, because of all the taxes and regulations and all the security measures and, you know, and gas tax and, I mean, and the TSA taxes and all the stuff, the airlines, they can't compete because it's just so, you know, it dogs them down. They get government bailouts and government help and government, you know, like, you know, breaks and everything else. Well, guess what? If you want to continue those breaks, you have to mandate that every one of your passengers has a vaccine proof. I mean, that's what they're going to do. So it's not the government saying you have to do it. It's, quote, private companies. So this is what's coming, is how they're going to mandate it without actually having to confront the Supreme Court on this issue. So therefore, the only way around this, not to mention censorship and everything that's coming down, is basically to do it ourselves. So if you're Southwest Airlines, which is the only airline that actually generates a profit, and I'm happy to say they're based here in Arizona. Southwest Airlines, if you're the first airline to say, you know what, we already make a profit, we can do it anyway, and you don't need a vaccine proof on our flight. Bam, 55, 60% of the population automatically, and you've got market share without even trying. I said last week, if you're the first company to make a Freedom phone, it doesn't work only half as well as an iPhone, but it's got basic internet, you can call people, you can take some pictures on it. Yeah, it's not the greatest, but it's good enough. But you know what? We're not going to delete your apps. You can do whatever you want on it. Bam. Everyone's iPhone becomes a paperweight and you got 50, 60% market share. Bam. I mean, this is what I see coming. So in many ways, it's kind of it kind of goes to what you're talking about as well. People starting to realize about internet servers and hosting and that's a whole other story. So that's your world. And I mean, not your world. I mean, you and I are in agreement, but that's kind of where I think your view really is going to take off and propagate. On the other hand, I do think it's also restructuring of the system as far as with government, which I know is the part that you abhor and you keep thinking, I don't get it and this and this. But, you know, my issue is people want to be led. You know, not everyone wants to be the rogue out and having their own chicken farm. And I love Bob and I would love to have Bob's, you know, kind of world and his background. And that was a whole other story. Great guy. And it's amazing the things that some people know how to do. I'm not in that position to do. I think most people, you know, are not. And there's not enough land for everyone to do that per se. So people are going to have a lot. Most people, you know, they want to be moms. They just don't want to get as involved. You have to have government to some degree, but it's broken clearly. And we have this whole globalist takeover. So it's going to be a resetting of all of that. That's, you know, we have like what we'll talk about, you know, Donald Trump talking about the Patriot Party, its third party. And that kind of leads into what I wanted to get to about this 3-week deal of what's going on. There's more going on behind the scenes. Is that I think Trump and the movement is trying to kind of reset and take a break and just, you know, not be too panicky. I'm glad no violence happened the other day. By the way, did you notice no violence? The only violence that happened over the inauguration was from the left. It was Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioting on the inauguration. It wasn't any conservatives. Just have to make that point, you know. But anyway, I think there's going to be a resetting of not the reset, although, you know, these guys want it, is, okay, where do we go from here? Do we go, and I'm just going to throw some questions out. I know these are all like bait questions that you and I could go off on, but questions like, should there be a third party? And I know before you even say it, I know Trump comes a Patriot Party and then all of a sudden the brown shirts, whatever, the bad guys take that over and someone else is in charge. I mean, I get that, but just, you know, where do people go? Do you sit there, do you create a third party of anger against Republicans about what they did according to the Julian Assange thing that we'll talk about later? Do we just say screw the Republicans and go with whole third party that maybe includes libertarians and nationalists and populists and even some people from the far left? A different policy structure that's basically anti-war, leave me the hell alone, and basically it deals with the future of technology problems of privacy that a bunch of old people from Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and the John McCain who did the anti-patriot bill, all these old people that are too, their head is still up their ass and they don't understand technology and they're bought off, that they have allowed these big tech companies to be a tech oligarchy that's ruling us. So all of that, I think maybe we need younger blood of people who understand technology issues, who understand blockchain, and these people part of a party, a whole new platform. I think that's really coming. Then, of course, there's a whole new economy, as I was talking about, where you have a whole new, you know, parallel economy that would include companies that would deal with angel investing. Imagine an angel investing company, kind of like, you know, Shark Tank, that only dealt with freedom principles. You know, that, I mean, talk about all the investing opportunities. If you knew that you automatically, if you made MyPillow and it was for and conservatives would definitely, you know, buy it, you got 50, 60% and growing. Or on top of that, we have Donald Trump. So what's his play in all of this? He has such, I mean, everyone's going to sit back and wait to hear from him. Is he going to start Trump TV as you talk about? Is he going to start this new party? Is he, which I think he's probably playing to that card for some things that he's done the last few weeks, which we'll get to, like the Julian Assange thing, I think leads right into the Patriot Party, believe it or not. But it's like, okay, well, is he going to do maybe his own branding? I mean, he's the ultimate in branding.
Wow, he should do all this stuff after he's not president. Boy, that's good timing.
No, hear me out. I mean, you can't do this when you're president. You have to be representing everybody. But I'm saying as a citizen again, why not with branding do like, you know, like the good housekeeping seal of approval? And if you get the Trump seal, a big T on your product, it means freedom or whatever. I don't know if you're going to laugh, scoff at that.
The biggest thing is that Trump is about his brand and they're going after his brand. anything that has anything to do with Trump, you might as well just call it mansplaining or something. You know, they're going to go after it, which is going to be the bifurcation. You're going to have, you know, anything that anytime you're against collectivism or the communism or the Bidenism or Harrisism or whatever it is, well, then you're a, you know, you got to, that's it. They're going to, you got, you know, fascist candidate A or communist candidate B. I mean, you know, it's, they're going to give you the two choices. There isn't a third choice. Well, if Trump tries to go into a third party or any kind of alternative choice or something, they're going to, you know, that's why the Republican Party or the conservatives, they're done, because they didn't differentiate themselves enough from the left, because there isn't any difference. So they're going to make the two. And mm-hmm. It's like war games with Matthew Broderick. The only way to win the nuclear exchange AI war is to not play, you know, and I'm not playing. You know, here we got, I give you a good example. Drudge Report. We knew for the past couple of years that Drudge was taken over and done, and, you know, they were using it as a tool or whatever. Here we go. FBI to probe Parler. Joe gets to work, rejoins Paris Climate Accord. Deportations halted, moves for mass amnesty. Orders pause on border wall construction. Cesar Chavez bust in Oval Office signals new era for Latinos. Dems take control of 50-50 Senate with Kamala presiding for the first time. USA marks 1 year since first COVID case, you know, but now it's going to be in the blah, 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 blah. It is constant. I am prepared for the onslaught of bullshit. And the more you spend time listening to it, trying to counter it, even talking about it, is time wasted, to where Americans still have the opportunity to prepare for what's coming. And this is always, always, always turns into a food thing. And I'm telling you, people stock up and get ready for preparation of their own food.
So I want to echo your point. It's a great point. And this is kind of what I was saying. I think it's a combination of what I think a new political, you know, setup will be, and the nationalist populist uprising and takeover, which I think is coming. And the next 2-4 years, as much as I would like Trump involved, you know, to be president, I think in many ways people just need to really see what happens when the left is unleashed, when they have full control. I mean, you have to at least learn your lesson. I think, I'm like, if Trump red pill, how many people are red pilled in the last 4 years? Just imagine the next 2 years and 4 years, what's going to happen when you can't keep blaming Trump because he's nowhere to be found. I mean, the Republicans are moot. I mean, the whole thing. So I think this is going to feed right into the nationalist movement, whether Trump runs again or not. But you talked about how, you know, you just have to just turn away, and that's what's happening. I mean, and look, we all know this thing was stolen, all right? It was completely stolen, the election, and that's something that we just have to keep hammering every time and never let them reset our brains on it, which is what they're trying. They're desperate to try to make sure that that becomes illegal to even state, because they know that they stole it. But that being said, he has no – and all the reasons that I said that Trump – there's no way he could have lost legitimately, and I'm not trying to rehash that discussion too much, but it feeds into this. We talk about the enthusiasm gap. You know, you've got Trump bringing people up convention centers, and Biden had like two people sitting in circles in a gymnasium. And that guy's president. Right? I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, he came in fourth and fifth place in the primaries. No one's ever come close to winning that low. You know, he couldn't win Super Tuesday. He won nothing. And by the way, not just Joe Biden. This audience knows how we've called Kamala Harris from day one as the ultimate. She's what this thing has been about. You know, she was the defense attorney for Hillary Clinton during Benghazi. You know, she's the one that the media all pumped up and tried to get over the finish line during the primaries. And then, of course, she couldn't. So she dropped out before the first primary. So, guys, just think about this. We all know Biden is not long for this world, at least not as far as president. We're going to see president. This is about President Harris, who is really the puppet to the Clintons. That's what this is. Hillary Clinton endorsed her immediately. And this whole thing was the machine trying to get their puppet, who knows where all the bodies are buried and everything, who defended the Clintons in court, you know, at those hearings. She's about to be in charge. So we have the pedophile ring, essentially, and all the stuff we've talked about is basically back in power. But think about this over, guys. And I don't want to make your breakfast that much worse here. But as much as we believe that Joe Biden, the thing was stolen. You know, obviously he stole it, or the Democrats did. Harris, who will be president soon, most likely.
Right.
Not only was she not voted for, Harris has never been voted for anything. In other words, she didn't even get one vote cast for her in a single primary because she bailed out immediately. So think about this. You've got someone about to be president who nobody ever voted for with even one vote. I mean, just let that sit in for a minute when you think about that. How the system is so rigged and so corrupt that they are taking someone who never had even one vote for them, all of a sudden become president and shoved in everyone's face. And of course, you know, backed by the Clintons, and they're all back in the White House and the whole bit. I mean, this is so blatant. And the thing is, a lot of, it's going to be your point, I know I jumped off on this, is that the Democrats are feeling it themselves. They were so full of hate to stop Trump. They stopped to think, well, who are we voting for? And that's another reason why often, you know, we normally every time the enthusiasm gap proves who the president will be. People vote for someone, not against the person that can win. So people wanted Barack Obama. They came out for him. They didn't care for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was just the anti-Obama. And those people never win because you don't have a policy when your policy is, I'm not that guy. Well, Biden was sold as the ultimate, I'm not that guy, I'm not Trump. And now that you put everything behind the senile old man that no one cares about and a VP that people really don't care about, didn't even vote for, now all of a sudden people are sitting back realizing what they just voted for. What they got is this vapid, unenthusiastic, just uninspiring, no, nothing. There's nothing there. And I've had some Democrat friends even tell me how uninspired that speech was from yesterday. It was like, it's sort of like you feel like you're going back 20, 30 years when we would watch politicians and mouths would move and nothing would come out. It was just packaged crap. It was just like processed food. And we're back to that. And people are realizing what we're back to. Now, of course, they try to, I mean, propagandize it in a way we've never seen. You had Lady Gaga. I'm sure you missed this part, Ernie. Lady Gaga did the national anthem. And of course, as she's singing, you know, there just happened to have been a break, a little bit of the clouds moved in the sky, and CNN's going, oh my God, look, it's just like our nation, our country, the clouds are separating, the sun's coming out. I mean, this is unbiased CNN. I mean, it was so over the top, just fawning over this, that I think it's going to turn off more and more people. And lastly, on this point, is like you're saying, well, if people just turn this off, they are. Nobody, this person's not inspiring. He couldn't bring anyone out to the primaries. No one showed up. So no one showed up at the inauguration. I know their excuse, it's COVID and all this crap, but there's no one there. And finally, just look on their YouTube, the YouTube streams. I mean, first off, the CNN ratings and such, hardly anyone tuned into those shows for those for the inauguration. Nothing compared to Barack Obama. Nothing compared to Donald Trump. And then on top of it, you have the YouTube stream. The official top YouTube stream was the inauguration. So if you went on YouTube, it's sort of like Amazon. They have their book of the day that they showcase. You had the showcased inauguration of Joe Biden. And he got ratioed. Ratioed means that when you get more downvotes than people actually watching. And that's what happened. I mean, that never happens with a Trump rally. Every Trump rally, every Trump in the inauguration, official Trump speeches, it's nonstop. I mean, he's got huge, you know, millions of people will check in and watch these things and nothing but positive comments. Here he is on YouTube, the inauguration, and they had to shut down comments. They struck all the comments. They started striking down things. To their credit, they at least left the up and down button on, which some people were surprised that they even did that. But pretty soon, they're going to do that as well. And we've already heard now that follow-up Biden campaign or whatever, Biden stuff for the administration, they're going to cut off comments. So now you're already not able to even comment on this administration, and you think people are not going to take notice of this. And no one's watching. I mean, the guy, one last thing, that Salty Cracker, that video I sent out. If you guys are not subscribed to Salty Cracker, he's on YouTube. He's she's kind of left like Mark Dice pretty soon. Like Mark Dice says, I'm just going to ride this wagon until the wheels fall off, because he's refusing to ban, to self-ban. So he's already on Rumble and everywhere else. But Salty Cracker is this guy that had a Star Wars channel, and he just got into politics, and he's just a hoot. He's, if you just want to just let loose and have someone really very quick-witted, and kind of state the obvious. Sometimes when I need just a break, I watch him, and it's pretty funny. But he was talking himself. He's like watching it live, watching the downvotes, laughing and saying that. And it's true. His little dumbass channel gets more views than the inauguration. In 6 hours, the inauguration got, I think, what was it? I don't think it's too wrong, but it was like 300,000 views or 400,000 in 6 hours. I mean, Trump gets that live. And, of course, the Salty Cracker stupid little podcast is going to get that in his evening live stream. So it just shows you there's no interest in any way of this administration. And we're talking day one. And how is this possible? And I'll throw it to you now, Ernie, just in case you're not aware why. How is it possible that this person is being ratioed, downvoted that much, no interest, no one cares, and yet, according to the vote, he's the most popular president in the history of this country. All these people went out of their way in rain and snow and whatever else to their mailbox and had, of course, 30 days plus to put in their mail-in ballots and everything else. How is this person, the most popular ever, all of a sudden can't even get enough people to beat a YouTuber? It's setting up, and not to mention the riots from the left.
My problem is that people even paid enough attention to go downvote them. You know, I'm what a waste of time, and I'm done. You know, I've done this. I've been doing this 30 years, and it's been and that's one thing Corbett and I were talking about last night. I've been spending that 30 years trying to convince people that there was a systemic, fundamental, base problem with the government in general and our attitude towards it in America. And it wasn't racism. It wasn't, you know, strata of your economic status. It wasn't education level. It wasn't bloodlines. It was this idea that, you know, somebody else is responsible for my freedom. And if you don't see that you have to do it in local, in your yard level and take care of yourself, we're done. Because to think that, you know, it's not if the government should give us money, it's in what form or how or what benefit or what role they play in, you know, in checking restaurants. You know, it's not just whether they're clean or not, it's whether, you know, they're wearing masks too now, or they got shots, or they got tested for, and then the test itself, and then it just goes on and on and on. And I'm like, this is a perfect example of what happens when you collectivize things. When you make a mistake, or it's intentional, it affects everyone, as opposed to having a free flow of communication of what does and doesn't work, and individual adult human beings get to make up their own freaking mind about what they want to do or not. That is what made America great. It was the freedom, and I waited 5 years without a hint. Didn't say, I held my tongue. You know, I'm going, it was very simple. What made America great and exceptional was its devotion to individual liberty. That was it. That was it. It wasn't anything else. That was it. 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 And there was no way that they could say it out of their mouth. It was like watching an old Star Trek with Kirk there when they had the "We the People" parallel universe thing. And they go, you know, they're talking about the freedom of America. And at the end of it, Kirk goes into this big long thing about what made the people great. And it's for the, you know, the communists and the free people. It was all this ideology that they put into that episode about what we're living right now. And it slowly became, you know, got stripped away from our culture in the idea of that we had to have a common culture. And this is where you and I butt heads on this. I remember them having campaign questionnaires that went out to congressmen one year And the reason they asked this question is because there were some carpetbaggers from somewhere coming to Arizona to take over congressional districts because we had more added. You know, you always got somebody with money representing something coming in. They're going to be your new congressman. And they go, where do you consider home? So what they were looking for is them, oh, yeah, Arizona. I've been here, you know, 7 months. Man, it's my new home. You know what they're, you know, really they're going, eh, you're from, you know, New York City. I mean, this kind of thing. And to me, my immediate response was, I don't know, wherever my family is, wherever freedom is supported, wherever my family is left alone, where, you know, home is where the heart is. I mean, home is, who the hell would even ask, you know, stupid question like that other than to get that kind of response. Well, that wasn't the response they were looking for. They wanted you to say, well, I worship and goose step to the Arizona flag or something. I'm against all flags. Hell, that's what the shirt I'm wearing now, against all flags. So I'm just going, this is what the problem is this culture of collectivization that we need to be on the same team, that, you know, it's, you know, Jersey Biden or Trump or Republican or Democrat or something. And no other need apply. How about America? How about the concept of individuals? How about, you know, just people? Well, that is what the collectivism is up against now across the world, that people are starting to understand that it's up to them, or that that is even an option, that they could have that as an option to live. You know, so I'm going, all right, you know, when's that going to get bigger? Internet. When you got the other half of the planet gets on high-speed internet, it is going to change everything, because all the content that we get now comes from the cities. You cannot upload regularly video, certainly not as easy as if you're sitting in a high-speed, high-bandwidth town, urban area of. When that hits the world, the planet, the surface of the planet where human beings are living, and they start sharing how they're living or their preference of living or why these things become problems and why they're systemic and who's coming after them in the deepest, darkest Africa. Somebody's got some shot to sterilize their village. I mean, when this comes out, what's going to happen? I don't know, but it's not going to be the same as it is now. This is not going to continue, and we have to get ready. You know, you guys can do whatever the hell you want. I'm just going to be ready for surviving this thing. I don't have to beat them. I just have to outlast them, because it doesn't continue, because it can't. Every time you do this kind of collectivization, the society implodes every single time. The only difference is that America has such enormous resources. We have just in scrap metal. I mean, it's World War II. We need steel for bombers. All right. Bunch of kids went out with wagons. Boom, there's your steel. I mean, you know, there's so much abundance in our trash. Oh, my God. You got a war? We got a dump. I mean, you know. I am of the opinion, everything that you're talking, let me finish on this. I got to make my point. Wait, let me make my point. I'm making a point. I want to make sure that people understand the abundance that is sitting there. I have been studying for years in power, in food production, in communication, in education, you know, our grandchildren, how we live, what you kind of lifestyle you can have in itty bitty living space of a bus. I you know, what Bob's out here in the Lone Prairie of. I've been studying this for years, and I'm not a genius. You know, I know what needs to be. Homie needs some power. I guarantee that. Got a bunch of solar panels. So I can see that all of this stuff that we're supposed to worry about, Washington right now, has never seemed so far away to me. It is just, wait, well, they're going to trash the monuments and do this and do that and spray paint over and put, you know, Cesar Chavez bust in the Oval Office and all, which Biden did, oh, my God. And I'm going, you know, don't care. Don't care. That's way to hell, don't care. But they're going to come. They're going to what? You know, I don't care. And every bit that we have the effort to bring people together to try and go and fight them is the problem. Quit worrying about them. Ignore them. They need you participation in order to have something to be against, or to get you to pay some tax, or to get you to, you know, support the other side that's controlled by the same people that's controlling you're supposed to be up against. Ignore that. I tell you what they don't like. They, them, those don't like to be ignored. I guarantee that. So I'm just going, well,
right.
Help me out.
So Ernie, again, I agree. I mean, in principle, I guess I was telling Donna the other night, we were just chatting, and I said, you know, in some ways you're making a big gamble that strategy will work. And I'm not in any way throwing shade at you. I mean, you really are. You're prescient. You're brilliant with how you see things. You really are, even though you're a pain in the ass after that. But I mean, definitely, and this audience knows it, you know, well, I mean, about being, you know, ahead of your time and many things you're seeing. And I truly believe that. But it's also a gamble. It's a gamble that by turning your back, it's almost like just by putting your guns down, or not that you're saying that, but I mean, by just saying, I just don't care, I'm going to just check out, and that somehow the system is not going to find you, and you keep saying, just leave me alone. Well, I mean, how far away can you go? I mean, how far do you have to really be in order to be left alone? And then for some people, that's not right for them either.
Light years in my mind.
Some people don't. Or what?
Light years in my mind. It's a decision. It's inside our own head. It's just an opinion.
No.
I keep going on about general public opinion. When my opinion is they don't matter and screw them, I just go further out, further separate, further I'm not helping them, further I'm not participating. Say no, no, no. I don't got to get all militant about it. Just no. I'm not cooperating. Everybody always goes for convenience.
But Ernie, in many ways, I have that term, I thought was maybe overused, ferocious ambiguity on this topic, which is why I think you and I have good discussions on this, is I get what you're talking about. And I agree in principle, and I see it work often.
No, you don't.
But I do. And I completely agree with that concept that they don't want to be ignored. And I mean, heck, we're seeing it right now. The fact that people are leaving CNN and checking out and not listening to these people, and especially with Biden, who can't get crickets to even show up. I mean, you've got this stuff going on. Look, once Trump starts doing Trump TV, whatever, he's going to pull in more ratings and get more power without being in office. And they're deathly afraid of that, clearly. And this is why, and that's kind of a thing I'm sure many of us have heard about with Julian Assange. The reason he didn't pardon Assange or Snowden was apparently, this is true. I mean, it was even Tucker talked about it, which is that Mitch McConnell, the fascists in the conservative party, I hate these people, you know, threatened Trump and said, if you pardon these deep state, the anti-deep state people, well, then we're going to probably convict you in the Senate, you know, on this impeachment charge, which you know, you'd say, well, what, why would it matter? He's already out. Well, the fact that if this is true and he went along with this, it's because he is thinking of running again, and which still surprises me.
Oh yeah, years. Trust a plan. Trump. He's got it. It's another 4 years.
Well, I'm not saying
trusted. No, I don't give a shit.
Okay, I know you don't. I'm not trying to get a side thing on just Trump. I'm just pointing out that this is how these people play, and they still want all this attention. But the attention is being changed. You know, people are not, they're dropping out from all of these main websites and the media. And of course, they go to Parler, they have to shut that down, and that became a huge deal. Now Parler, I heard, is going to be popping up again on a Russian server. I mean, we got the communist Russians are the most, well, I know, of course, for them it's propaganda war and they're just laughing their asses off. But still, the fact we have to go to communist Russia in order for us to have our freedom of speech. I mean, it's just, so we're turning away from them on all levels. And when the parallel economy comes, which I would keep talking about, we're turning our back on them, just like you're talking about. So I agree on that point. The second thing I agree with you on is that, and this is where I get a little that ambiguity here, and just hear me out, and it's going to be a little depressing for some of you to hear what I'm about to say in just a bit. Is yes, I agree that a lot of times you just, through history, you learn that you don't have to beat them, you just outlast them. There's two, okay, and that is true, okay? You know, if you look at history, and not to get too much of my wonkiness, But, you know, the American Revolution was, how long was that? Like 5-8 years or something like that? It was like 5 years, I think. If you look at the French Revolution, that was a hardcore 5 years, and it was like another, overall, it was about 10 years. So a decade. You know, most times, and when we think about, oh my God, I mean, if you just look at at World War II, I mean, everything, the atrocities that happened there was under a decade. And so we think about in history books, because we hear about these things so much, and if we didn't live through them, they seem like forever, but they tend to just, you know, they're like wildfire. They go through 5-10 years and war is hell, and you certainly don't want all of this, but, you know, it does change. And then, like you say, you know, freedom ultimately wins. It just gets messy beforehand. And you're completely right. And at the end of the day, that is a belief system that is what will happen here. And because history being a guide, generally, that's correct. Now, there's two big issues I have that were things or concerns. And I'm not truly doubting you, Ernie. I'm just throwing this up because I don't know. This is the final frontier with me. On one hand, I have you, the viewpoint being, just turn your back on them and it'll just pass you by. On the other hand, you have that famous quote and many examples of history of people who say, you know, I didn't get involved and support that person there or that person. I turned my back. And then eventually they came after me. In so many words, I'm paraphrasing, but you guys remember the saying. And that's the other concern. And of course, you and I have argued to the point that I bought you, gifted you a bloodied bat with barbed wire on it. Yeah, Lucille, to make the point that you and I have gone back and forth, and I know we've had healthy debates, not to go into it now, which generally was, you know, if you want to be left alone, there's always enough people who basically are weaker, and they want someone else to lead for them, and someone else that, you know, they're willing to pay tax for them to have protection and have guaranteed food, and if you do that, all of a sudden that person's a leader, fascist leader, whoever it is, and they'll come and take your stuff. So you can't really be left alone when you have hungry masses or powerful masses or sociopaths out there that are willing to take from others for their own power. And you can be as self-righteous as you want, but they'll come for you eventually. And that's my other concern of history. But wait, as much as that is the argument you and I have had, I have a greater argument. And this is something that is a much larger topic, and I don't know how much we want to really get into this, but I do
the Frank upgrade. Okay, here's your new argument. Give me.
Here we go. And I really am, this is a good discussion in a sense that I'm curious with your children, how they're raised and other people. Just hear me out before you jump in with this, because it's a large topic. And the bottom line is, I sit back and I go, is this revolution that we're going to see, hopefully peaceful, hopefully it's just technological, whatever. It's ideological. And we win just by turning our backs and going pirate and all that. Okay, I get that. But is this something that's going to be a 5-year deal, 10-year deal that history shows us? And we can outlast them. You just have to wait it out and be left alone. Assuming, again, Negan doesn't come to your house and force a vaccine on you, whatever. Or are we looking at one of those very unique situations that history has also shown us where you settle into a political dark age, like the dark ages, right? We call them the dark ages, from the Middle Ages, right? Where you can settle in, not just for 5 years or so, but an ideology takes root that it takes hundreds of years or so to get out of. And it's kind of like the Ice Age. And that is, to be honest with you, that's my concern. And it's not from someone who doesn't understand the prism of history that, yes, most times these things, you know, vet themselves out in 5-8 years. I get that. But I really have serious concerns, Ernie. And let me explain the reasons why. First is that if this country goes down, I have to quote Reagan, they say, you know, freedom, if we lose our freedom here, there's nowhere else to go. And I know that might be Republican propaganda that we might see it, but there's the truth to that. I mean, if the globalists take over Europe and they play the same games on Twitter and Google and they do the mass censorship everywhere and they sit there and they hold pedophile, you know, extortion over politicians to allow Google to take everything over or whatever, however this thing plays out, because these are really evil people. I mean, you have a crackdown that could be worldwide, and it's not like you just escape to another country, like people left Russia to come to America that was more free when America has to get their servers in goddamn Russia, right? So, I mean, so you've got there's nowhere to go if this thing gets, which is what they want, a one world order where, there's, well, and of course, Ernie's answer is, I'm going to Mars with Elon Musk. And that's probably the answer. That's why they want to stop. That's why Elon's like, yeah, I'm out of here. But seriously, it's like, where do you go? And so whatever ideology takes over, it's going to be really hard to break out of it. Number two, and this is really a key point. Hopefully all you guys hear. Most revolutions or changes occur with a younger group of people that want more freedom and an older group of people who are set in their ways who tend to be conservative. The young people saying, stop, you know, I want more freedom. I want black people to have more freedom. And I want, you know, I want to be thinking bigger and grander, right? They want more freedoms. Most times that's where these things come from. And it's the young people who actually have the energy to fight these things. I mean, yeah, you've got some generals that might boss people around, but it's the young people who have the vigor to go out and, you know, go and destroy things and riot or be on the front lines or whatever it is. It's not old people. So normally it's the young people fighting for freedom and the old people kind of just stuck in their ways. That's how these overthrows or where revolutions occur. And I'm not calling for a revolution, all right, for any of you government people listening. I'm just saying that's what history shows. So what do we have today? We have the opposite. We have this strange world where the young people are the ones that don't want freedom. They're the ones burning it. They're the ones for censorship. They're the ones for self-censorship. These are people who don't understand they don't understand anything that they have. They're burnt. It's the young people who are book burning. And it's the old people. It's a bunch of people from Woodstock. I mean, not all of them are liberals, but you've got older people, people who grew up with Don Rickles and Johnny Carson and John Wayne and saw their parents fight in World War II and had the flag and were patriotic and whatever. I know some of you guys hate all that, but I'm just saying you have people who are older, and what Trump represented, to go back to Trump for a second, as I said, he was the third rail that Marxist communists have to take out. They take out, not to go to this whole long segue here, but communists, and Marx said himself, if you want to take over a country, you have to get rid of the three things that people hold over their love of government. Love of government, I know it's like an oxymoron for us. Right? It's your attachment to the nuclear family. You have to destroy the nuclear family. You have to attack and take out people's relationship with God and their religion. And the third is their love of culture. You need to get rid of all three of them. And we've had long shows on this. I won't go at all right now, but you know, for decades, they've taken out religion. They mock it. They put it down. And of course, other religions are okay, but you know, the base, you know, Judeo-Christianity in this country, they've attacked, you know, and ridiculed. And now if you teach your kids about Noah's Ark, they're going to say that's anti-science, and they're going to take your kids away and put them back in public school. They're being brainwashed. Now you've got to tackle the nuclear family, which we've talked about. You know, I mean, the only time you see a man in a family is if they're a dumbass like Homer Simpson. You know, you can't have a strong man. And that's this audience already gets that, how they've done that. And of course, these men now, why do you think you get these 22-year-old soy boys, 25, 30 years old? They talk like women, you know? They sit there and they sit in their basements. They play video games all day. Literally, they're depressed. They don't know who they are. They're not men. They don't know what a man is anymore, you know? And they can't stand up for themselves. And they start off born with, what, $30,000 in debt? And then we push them into college that they don't need. And they've got another $50,000 in debt, and they're walking out at 20, 30 years old, and they have debt, and they've been emasculated. And if they stand up for themselves, it's toxic masculinity, and then they can't say anything, and they're stuck in the little friggin' room playing their games. And now you got Oculus Rift coming. And when you sit there and play Grand Theft Auto, which is an amazing game, by the way, where you're immersed in a world that is a human accomplishment, just what these programmers can do, and you put that on a virtual reality system. No wonder these kids don't want to escape. They're checking out. This is like the 60s Woodstock with weed. Just check, you know, it was a good, get high and check out and drop out or whatever they used to say. That's kind of what, and these people, You get rid of the men. You get rid of the people who can defend themselves, who even have that understanding of freedom and independence in the first place. They are becoming muted. They're becoming impotent in the mind. And this is a deeper issue. And this is what I'm getting to, is that we have a generation now that's okay with it. They're placated. They're impotent. They have no sense of self. They're not even men. And these are the people that are burning the rights away. And the people that are standing up for it are not young people who are going to continue this fight when the old people die off. The people who are left to fight for freedom are the old people who are all getting ready to. Half of them are trying to fight, and the other half just want to be left alone so they get their Social Security and Medicare or Obamacare, because they're afraid, because, you know, they're getting sick and they just want someone to take care of them at the end. And they really don't, you know, they enjoyed all the fruits of the labor of their parents who fought the war. Then they screwed up our debt and our economy and everything else and our culture. And now they're checking out on the rest of us, handing us the debt, as they're still worried that they're not getting enough health care. It just pisses me off. I'll tell you what, anyone 50 or younger, or maybe 55 and younger, I mean, I'll include you in this too, pretty pissed off at that older generation that is all checking out now, you know, and that includes those of you guys that are at least now in the fight now. I appreciate it. Like my dad, thank you, Dad. But still, they all enjoyed the ride, and they're handing us, you know, a sinking ship. So, and then you've got the young people, as I'm saying, who don't even understand the concept. And that is why I am profoundly worried that this could be different, and riding it out in 5-8 years and just surviving it, I don't know, because this could go to the, like you said, they have to change us. And yes, they haven't put the needle in us yet, but they've already changed us, I think, in just the way we think. And let me finish on this point. This is the punchline to this. I have, as you know, I'm a doctor when I'm not yelling at Ernie and we have fun on this, but my patients tend to be a little more anti-establishment, you know, that's why they see me, because they don't trust what the system tells them. I'm not anti-science. I mean, I hang out with urologists all the time, but, you know, they just question it. I'll just leave it there. But anyway, many of them, let's say, are conservative or libertarian. I try not to bring up politics in my office, but when you've got a rifle on your hanging over your ultrasound machine, you tend to get patients that, you know, kind of, they start talking to you, you know.
Oh, did you ever get that back? Did they find it?
No, the insurance company is going to pay me, though, thank God. So, but I appreciate it. Yeah, that was, I have to talk
to the company. It was a Centennial Arizona Gold Special 30-30 lever action, beautiful cased rifle. And somebody came in and they stole it. Bastards.
Yep. On New Year's Day. Yeah. So the thing is, I have patients like this, and they came in the last couple of days, including yesterday. And let's just say I spent, for the first time in 20 years practicing, I spent more time talking politics than I did medicine. Guys were coming in for their like updates and their, you know, reviews and all. And they were going right into the election, what I thought. I mean, I thought I was on the radio show yesterday. I was honored. I mean, these patients are paying patients, and I'm not there trying to bring up politics, but that's on their mind more than even their prostate issues right now. And, you know, stress does increase cortisol levels, which can suppress your testosterone levels. And when your hormone levels are off, that can affect your prostate, and your PSA goes up and can feed a cancer. That's how stress can give you cancer, not to get into my medical world. But I'll tell you what, I hear a lot from my patients, and I have wonderful patients and interesting backgrounds, trust me. I mean, they're very fascinating men who I see, and I'm honored. But one of the gentlemen yesterday, I'll try and keep this real general, but he's a school teacher, and he teaches, I'll keep it general. He teaches music, and also, you know, you, of course, you know, in the grade school, you teach other classes too, you know, like history, whatever, but his background was in music. But he was talking about, you know, he's been doing this 40 years, you know, he's an old timer. And he just wants out. He can't handle working there. Just like Tarzan Keith was all lamenting how, you know, if you're at the hospitals and everyone around you just seems to be all, they're all happy as hell that Trump's gone. And, oh my God, Lady Gaga and the clouds open and Biden, they're all happy. So there's always so much you can take of it when you feel like you self-censor all the time. But anyway, this teacher was talking to me, and I've heard stories like this. Are you there?
Yeah, go.
You there? Ernie?
Yeah, go.
Sorry, if some reason my phone, someone was calling. All right. So anyway, so what he said was that in the last 40 years, he and the other teachers have been seeing a marked decrease in students' ability to think outside the box, to be creative. And he said no better place are teachers seeing it is in even in music, where there's kids who supposedly are trying to learn music and they can't riff. Like, he'll sit there and show me like a beat. You go da 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 da. And you show them, you have them like tap it out. You say, okay, now try to improvise off that. You know, and you kind of riff off of it. You know, that's what I do. I play music, blah, blah, blah. But he said that it's not just like one or two students having an issue, that over the decades, it's becoming such an issue that they can't even teach the jazz class anymore. Like, the students are learning, they're not learning the ability to get outside the box. And this is not just, and music is just a way, it's a language in itself. He's saying that the students just think very linear anymore. And that's also being seen in other classes. It's just linear thinking. And then a lot of it, I think a lot of this audience already gets it, it seems to be the medication is not a vaccine. It's the internet. It's the friggin', you know, being glow-faced looking at their phones all day. I mean, we don't even let our daughter really check out the video that herself much, but man, it's a definite addiction. And these young people laugh and mock the older people that we're not with it enough, and we don't know this new app, and we're not quick enough, and you know, boom, 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 and they're like the Borg, you know, on their cell phones and doing this and writing code, and they can mock us just like we would mock our grandparents for not using a VCR and all that kind of thing, but it really is different. I think their brains are so focused in that linear track that they can't disconnect to understand the world around them that has consequences. You can't have creative thinking to think about why, for instance, things are the way that they are, because everything's being presented to you. It's sort of like I talk, so you can't critically think to ask yourself how Biden, like why Trump maybe is claiming the problem or the Jeffrey Epstein issues, or I don't want to get into individual issues, but it's like you have to think outside the box and say, okay, this is how the government presents something, but people do lie, and how do they do false flags, and this kind of thinking that now everything that's outside the box they label as conspiracy theory, because if it's not presented on track that they're comfortable with, they can't. The fact that if you say anything off kilter, if you say a politically incorrect joke, they flip out, because everything has to be in this little controlled environment. It's and one last thing, and I appreciate you letting me do this little rant, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. But it's like I've said on your show before, it's like GPS. I mean, I will never have my daughter, when she starts driving, God forbid, do GPS. I mean, my wife now, she's even addicted to it. We go to the friggin' store. Reflex, she puts on GPS, and I've got to hear that damn Siri until I shut the thing off. You know, turn left at the stop sign outside of your house. It's like, shut the hell up. The fact that people, if you can't think and say, there's the mountain I need to get to in the distance, let me use my brain and figure out how can I get there. And most of this audience remembers a day where you had to use your brain. You had to figure out, is it rush hour or not? And should I take the turnpike or not? And is it rainy outside? And where's the sun located? And, you know, is there a shortcut I can take, right? We all think in those ways, or at least we used to. But how many of you listening right now have forgotten to do that? You know, you just turn on. And heck, and I live in Arizona, where everything's a grid. It's the simplest driving you can possibly have. It's not Philadelphia with one-way streets and all sorts of crap and circles. So the fact that we're turning off our brain and we can't even drive, right? And pretty soon we're going to turn the whole thing over to the cars anyway. They're going to be driving us everywhere. And then that's also in medicine, not to get on a tangent, but it's the same thing. Doctors don't even think. They're told, your PSA is over 4, get a biopsy. Biopsy's positive, here's your two options. You know, it's like, you know, you have a vanilla or chocolate, basically the same thing. It's like Democrat, Republican. And that's it. Right? And you can't think outside the box. Well, how do we know the PSA is coming from a cancer? Did you have sex the night before? Did you buy a motorcycle? Did this and this and this? Well, I don't know. Doctor didn't ask me. Right? That, of course, that's what I do. And I'm not trying to advertise. I'm just saying doctors don't even think. They're on GPS tracking programs. And most of you can tell this now when your doctors are younger than you are and they don't act like Marcus Welby. So anyway, to sum this up, Ernie, that is my deeper issue. And I really am curious your thinking. We have a nice discussion on this. Is I agree, normally in history, you know, the young, the people who are fighting for freedom are can outlast the draconian, you know, controlling older people. And it's a fight and you outlast them in different ways. But when the young people are the problem, when they're burning things up and book burning, when they don't understand history, when they don't, they can't critically think, and they're getting rid of our freedoms, and they're linking and syncing up with an entire world that's globalist, and the entire internet wants to take over, and there's nowhere else to go to. I really shudder that this could be the dark ages of a long time, and hence why I guess I have myself fought enough where I try to make my part of this is being on the show and you know to the expense or the cost of me not spending enough time with my own family and being watching videos and reading and doing my little part rather than just checking out myself and saying, you know what, all right, just let it pass me by. I guess, you know, at least I know that I did what I could, but I wonder now. And one last point is at the same time, you have Dr. Steve Turley, and who's very optimistic and many, including you in many ways, who will say, look, at the end of the day, freedom will definitely win. When people are oppressed enough, then the truth comes out, and you can't oppress animals or humans that long until finally cracks escape. And in all fairness, there is a globalist nationalist pushback worldwide. I mean, America maybe screwed this up in this last election and allowed the corruption to occur. Of course, now it's exposed. 70% of Americans know something happened. I mean, 70% of all Americans know some hanky-panky happened in this election, which is why no one's watching it. That also means the world leaders know this. And the rest of the world knows that America's leadership is flawed and illegitimate. And so I think, you know, if this continues, maybe I am a little more pessimistic, but the fact that it's happening at the youth level, and this goes beyond public policy, this is focused on a computer and linear thinking that's giving linear thought and not able to get outside the box. I don't know how we get around that and how that neutralizes freedom. The idea of, I want to be free and I don't care if I don't have my computer. I want to have chickens and do it. These people, they'd be scared without not having their iPhone turned, if it's turned off for 2 hours. Anyway, I turn it over to you. Thank you for letting me get all that out. But what do you think with that bigger picture? Because you probably see it from both sides.
Oh my God. Did you make your point? Are you done?
I finished. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. I have to get some air now. Go ahead.
All right. This is what I my answer to everything that you just said is that it just doesn't matter. And if you think it matters, what you have to influence all these guys, you're looking at even a few hundred, maybe a few thousand people that are putting on the shiny badge, strapping on the, you know, metaphorical government gun, and going to make you do what they want. If they could convince you, they wouldn't have to make you. And one of the ways that they make you is with fear. That's what they've been their modus operandi for, you know, ever. And then it gets to the point to where fear, you fear more hunger, you fear more oppression, you have more fear for incompetent boobs, you know, telling you what to do. So then they have to go to coercion. And now it's fear of coercion. And that's why libertarian philosophy is no force or threat of force. The threat of force is where they're going to now. And this is what we have stories going up today. You know, Biden put us back in the Paris, you know, Accord. We have Fauci. Yes, America is going to follow the World Health Organization's mandatory vaccine of everybody and make Bill Gates' eugenics program happy. And they're going to get there. What? Blah, 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 blah. Of course they are. And they're going to do whatever they can do. Well, I'm okay. So what do? You know, I'm no. And then you're going to what? You know, have a collective that's going to get all collectivized, you know, to beat up their collective against collectivism. I mean, you know, it doesn't work that way. It never has. So as long as I can stay away from them and provide for myself by being physically removed, because they want to have any collective they can get. If you're in a municipal corporation of a city, if you're in, you know, a large town or a overactive community or anything, the more you can get out of a municipality, more you can go in the desert, the woods, the lakes, the ocean, the air, the space, the whatever the hell, you know, you just kind of, it's voting with your feet. And they need those very people, those types of people. I'll give you an example. Running a restaurant and being in the restaurant industry, I came across enormous numbers of applicants for jobs that were, I'm sure, undocumented, illegal, whatever, aliens. They came here, crossed the river of. I've had some of my best employees at corporations I worked with. I took them with me when I went to my restaurant, and their families that came in, and they have to fill out an I-9. And on the I-9, it says, the documents presented appear to be genuine to me. Well, they would always come in with some document or something they got from somebody. And I go, yep, nobody gave me a class. Looks document, looks genuine to me. I fill out the thing and I have all my human resources. Paperwork was done correctly. And I'm good. Come inspect my butt, man. It says right there, appears to be genuine to me. And all the government ever wanted to know was where to allocate their tax money. If they were the 13th person with that social security number, they'd have them come down to the IRS and give them a personal ID number to pay their taxes. That's all they cared about. You know, nobody, I said, don't worry, I'm not worried about it. I don't care. Well, what happened? Those people that left their home to walk across the desert or drive or however they wound up getting here or family thing or whatever they did, those are the people that they needed. Those are the people that made society. Those are the productive people that actually wanted to work. Those are the people that built things. And they saw the opportunity to go to America, not to get a welfare check, to get a job, to build for their future. They were the ones that were buying homes, cars, you know, paying taxes. And a lot of times, not being able, they keep saying, oh yeah, they got their WIC and they got their welfare and they got their, a lot of times, no, they were paying taxes, but they couldn't get any benefits because they weren't, you know, US citizens. So I see the lies over and over and over. So I'm withdrawing my productivity. I'm, you know, I know you need me and you need people like me. I'm not playing. We're over here now. Now what? Well, you owe, no, I don't.
It's Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, you know, and that's exactly what Atlas Shrugged was about. It was, you know, the Atlas holding the weight of the world on his shoulders, and they go, and he's the productive one that's holding every society up, and finally he just shrugs it. He says, screw it, I'm not holding it up anymore. When it goes away, there's the leeches, the parasites, they will kill the host. And I'm for, like, killing the host. I go, you know, I'm not going to be your host. I'm over here. Well, that productivity now for the first time has the ability to decentralize communication. It will not be without. They will be able to organize, you know, just barter, just be able to, I produce, I wish to buy, I will sell, I will ship, I will deliver outside of these systems, which is why they want to have these systems under control. They want to have FAA approved drone delivery only for Amazon. Well, what happens when I do it myself? I remember in Seattle, they wanted to do drone delivery of marijuana for cancer patients at home. Just even getting to the dispensary was a thing. And they go, not a problem. We got it. Here's the deal. Whoa, the government comes in, not allowed. Now, of course, they're going to allow somebody to do it. They're going to kiss butt and somebody's going to get their cut and, you know, whatever the government says. But, you know, the innovation, when you just quit looking to get a permission slip from the crown, these problems get solved. That's where I'm going. I'm above the grid. Yeah, they're going to call you a pirate. You know, I'm against all flags. I'm against all control. I'm against, you know, kiss my butt. I'm done. So this mindset has been building up. And as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm doing, you know, work for the site and so on. And I come across this article by, I think this was by Bumper Hornberger. Donna, are you getting Bumper on soon? Okay, she's working on getting Bumper because I haven't talked to him since he ran for president. you know, and I'm going, yeah, how'd that work out? You know, so I'm just going to read. You had your time.
No, before you go into a different topic, can you at least address the core issue I was talking about? I think the audience might wonder is, you know, you didn't comment on the point of them changing us, our youth, in a way where our brain structure is changing, I believe.
And here
do
it comes.
Do you not see that? Or do you think
and
you
here it comes. And here it comes. Now, this is an article that's titled, Woe to the Libertarian Non-Unifiers. Okay? This is, you know, the people that aren't out there jumping in front of the parade of whatever the hell. Where's the next wave? Where's the youth? Where's the next movement? What's it going to be based on? What happened to it? Here he writes, I hate to rain on Biden's military-lined inaugural parade, but it just ain't going to happen. What these people still don't get, indeed, what Trump and his Republican cohorts still don't get, is that America is in a deep morass, not because of who is elected president, but rather because America has an immoral and inherently defective system. When you've got a bad system, it doesn't matter who is president or who controls Congress. The bad system is going to win out whoever is in charge. This bad system has been labeled the welfare warfare state. It was not America's founding system. It's the opposite of America's founding system. The decision to convert the federal government to a welfare warfare state is the root cause of the morass in which our nation finds itself. No amount of unity or optimism or wishful thinking is going to change that fact. For more than 100 years, Americans lived under a system that was commonly referred to as a free market, private property, limited government system. It was a radical system in which Americans were free to keep everything they earned and decide for themselves what to do with their own money. There was no coerced charity. Charity was entirely voluntary. No Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, farm subsidies, education grants, welfare, or other socialist programs. There was sound money, no Federal Reserve System or fiat, paper money. Gold and silver coins were the official legal tender of the United States under the Constitution for more than 100 years. No immigration controls, no minimum wage laws, no income taxation, no public schooling, no FDA, no Center for Disease Control, no drug laws, no gambling laws, hardly any economic regulations, no Pentagon, CIA, NSA, or FBI, no foreign wars, foreign interventions, coups, assassinations, torture, foreign aid, alliances with dictators, and foreign military bases. 20th century Americans abandoned all those founding principles in favor of the socialist, interventionist, and imperialist system known as the welfare warfare state, or also the national security state. Essential to this paradigm shift was a life of the lie, a life that maintained that nothing had changed, a lie that said that America was still a free enterprise system and was still a republic. It is a lie that is adhered to by today's statists, both Democrats and Republicans. Not so for us libertarians. We know the truth and we tell the truth. Their statist system is the cause of America's problems. They can never make it work, no matter how much unity, optimism we and hope they have. Inherently defective means that something cannot be made to work no matter what. Thus, the crisis and the chaos for the past 4 years had nothing to do with Donald Trump as president. They had everything to do with their rotten and corrupt welfare warfare state system. That's what these Democrat statists and their cheerleaders in the mainstream press just don't get. Of course, Republican statists don't get it either. They think that the only reason that Trump wasn't able to make America great again was because of those pesky Democrats and their Russia collusion, delusion, conspiracy theories. They don't see that the problem was instead the welfare warfare state, way of life in which they and their leader Trump were devoted. That was the cause of the problem. After all, think about it.
I disagree.
There are no philosophical differences between Trump and Biden and their respective political parties, as manifested by their joint commitment to such programs as Social Security, Medicare, foreign military bases, foreign interventionism, federal management of healthcare, the Federal Reserve, out-of-control federal spending and debt, and all of the other aspects of the welfare warfare state. No, the battle between Trump and Biden and their respective political parties was never over philosophy or policy. It was over control, money, and power. That's what the entire welfare warfare state way of life is all about. There is only one way out of this status morass: libertarianism. We libertarians must not fall within the status mindset by settling for reforms of the welfare warfare state, including such statist reform programs as school vouchers, health savings accounts, Social Security privatization, assassination reform, surveillance, you know, reform, and other such things. We must instead continue standing in favor of liberty and showing our fellow Americans what a genuinely free society is all about. Ergo, a separation of economy and the state, a separation of healthcare and the state, a separation of church and the state, a separation of school and the state, voluntary charity, and the restoration of a limited government republic. Will the statists label us libertarians as non-unifiers? Undoubtedly. In fact, it could be worse. Former CIA Director John Brennan has just announced that President Biden's intel community is moving to investigate the pro-Trump insurgency that harbors religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians. Yikes. Are we libertarians who are not part of the pro-Trump insurgency safe from the CIA, the NSA, and the Pentagon? Does this mean that libertarians are now subject to be sent to Gitmo for torture, re-education, indefinite detention, and trial by kangaroo tribunal? I have dibs on the lower bunk, he says. Does this mean that Future Freedom Foundation should no longer focus on the national security establishment's regime change operation against President Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963? Whoops, too late. We have a major online conference already planned for this spring entitled The National Security State and the Kennedy Assassination. More details to follow. If Brennan, Biden, or any of their national security state cohorts think they are going to intimidate us libertarians at Future Freedom Foundation into silence, they had better think again. Jacob Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation, you know, is a good friend, and we see eye to eye. This whole thing is not about Biden, Trump. They're the same thing. They're just two sides of the same collectivist welfare warfare state. And this is why I was so critical of Trump, because he didn't fundamentally disagree with a damn thing that these other guys coming in right now are doing. The only difference was who was in control of it. And I'm going, who's going to get rid of the system that has plagued us for 100 years? It wasn't like this. And it took this long to get to this point with this enormous debt that got added on to, oh my God, in the last 4 years. And right as he's going out of office, we got another chunk of stimulus, and it wasn't enough. We need 600 to go to 2,000. And who do you think gets paid off? All these foreign, most vast majority of the money went to other countries and corporations and banks. And how do you think the political elite in this country get paid off? Through that. And they did it right in front of us, right under our nose, with QAnon going, oh, what the hell, they'll trust a plan bullshit, and Trump not being against it. Hell, he was for it. They were doing it wrong. And I'm going, this is not a Trump thing. He was a side effect of this, and the people had to get the education that we are against a corrupt system, and we have to pull ourselves from the system. And there's going to be all kinds of parades that all kinds of politicians are going to run and jump in front of. Woohoo! I'm for the dismantling of the blah, 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 blah. No, they're not. You know, I'm just for living the life. I'm for withdrawing my consent, withdrawing my money, withdrawing my participation as much as I can. And in the time I knew that what had to happen was going to be communication outside of their sphere of control and surveillance. That is essential in the form, because in the communication category of PiratesWithoutBorders.com is what? Crypto. That is how you're going to communicate with money. It's what communicates prices. It's what communicates value. It can be one of the most important things that they have always wanted control. And they do it with the printing of money. Inflation is going to kick our ass. You think taxes are bad? You wait until inflation tax hits you. And it's coming. And it's going to be in the form, one of the main things, one of the big addictions, one of the main line, we got an IV, you know, freaking 3/8-inch hose going into our arm. Hell, they just do it inside our leg, really get some, is going to be money. It's going to be all about how much they just, universal basic income. We need another stimulus. It's going to be for this, you know, the who gets to make it and who doesn't. Here comes the money, and the inflation is going to kick the living crap out of everybody. And before it even got bad, when my father and mother retired, they planned, they gave reference a little bit to inflation. They believe the government is going to be, you know, they, ooh, we 8%. Well, we say 8%. That inflation was easily, you look over twice that, way more than that. And there was no way that they were going to be able to survive through retirement. All the money that they thought they were going to live large, it just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, I'm not playing that game. And why? It was the cost of living. It's like when you make electricity, it's good to make electricity or make money, but it's a lot easier if you just don't use it. You get a more efficient refrigerator. You use, you know, sun and how you heat rooms or this or that. You know, it's a lot easier to not need it. So I'm going to set a life up. I don't need it. They go, well, you're going to have money to live. Why? I mean, you know, I can produce, you know, I can create an environment where I don't need as much. Let's do that. Let's produce. And then on the other side, I can produce electricity. Boom, I'm all over it. I can produce food. Cool. I can produce hot air, cold air. I go, that's where I'm going. This year, I am so adamant about that being the solution. So when you look at the generation next, what are they doing? They're getting tiny homes. They don't want the mortgage. They don't want the pressure. They just came out of a lifetime of, you know, 20 years with their parents, and they know exactly what the stresses they were under, what opportunities they had and didn't have. They know how much they coerce you into a big, giant student debt for a degree that didn't do anything. And all you really need to know is all that degree for and all this wanting to make money as opposed to pursue their happiness. They were making the money to what? To buy food, you know, to get fuel, to have energy. They're like, well, shit, you can do that, you know, without having the debt. I'm this change is coming because it always does. The only thing that holds it back is that you don't have the information that it's even possible. They don't want you to know that it is preferable, that people are less stressed, they are happier, that their kids learn more when they have the time to teach them. Now the people are screaming, you know, the teachers are counting on the people. We got to have school. We got to get it back. What they're really screaming for is I need a babysitter. I'm going, what the hell? Get your priorities straight. Donna and I, you know, it wasn't until, I think it was like, we've been married like 20 years before we had an air conditioner worked in all our cars and the house at the same time. We were like, woohoo, you know, we're freaking large now, you know, we got a second bathroom, woohoo. I mean, you know, we were so appreciative of each of the advances in our quality of living. And now I'm spoiled. I want to have all the power that I want. I want to have all the clean water and long, big, giant bath, whatever that I want. I want to be comfortable and sit there and watch whatever and communicate whatever I want. And I want to be left alone, not have to smell or hear or whatever people's crap. Can I do that for an affordable amount? Yes, I can. So I am. And I think a lot of people are. That's what you're seeing in this tiny house thing. So then what happens? Oh, no. We got to regulate that. You're doing it wrong. You got to pay this guy or this contractor's got to build it in the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this is, it's a system. It's a welfare warfare system that's being used and we're paying for to control us. And anything that we're going to go to a parlor that's going to be on a Russian server of the, the fact that they're even thinking that way, why are they not, doing what we're doing with, decentralized nodes of nobody's in charge? Because ultimately they want to be in charge. Ultimately, they want to know where everybody was on the Capitol lawn and all their pictures and videos that they did to put up in the NSA of whatever. Ultimately, it's another version of the same thing. When people stop thinking this way, it'll correct itself. Will there be the commie socialist of whatever the hell? Absolutely. When we go out in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix area, it's surrounded by mountains. There's different mountain ranges that go around it with about two or three. Yeah, Bob's got his earphones on. two or three exits out of the valley. On the west side of Phoenix, there's a mountain range called White Tanks because they call it White Tanks. And on the other side of it, that whole, there's a river valley that goes there. Between the mountain and that river and that floodplain thing is where Bill Gates bought all of this Belmont land of, we're going to plug a matrix cord in the back of everybody's head and they all got to take vaccines. They're not too far from that. On the other side of the river, some of the land that we've been looking at, how close do I want to be to them? Am I going to be left alone? Is it separate from them? Are they going to fear, they're like, virus creators over there. We got to go get, do I see it as an advantage? Woo, I'm going to be near the freaking space capsule of the, whatever the hell they're going to build there, the future city or something. Or do I need to be further away? Is it going to be an example? Is it going to make fun of them? Is it going to be, there is going to be a separation. The question is, are you allowed to be separated? Are you allowed to be free and not homogenous and, part of the big giant herd of everybody? One of the signs that we made is the shot herd, H-E-R-D, around the world. It has a big hypodermic on it. The shot herd, this is what's going on. I can see that's going to be a popular.
That's clever.
The more I make those and put those out. Another sign, it says small M, capital RNA, mRNA shots, because they're not vaccines, mRNA shots equal GMO humans. I'm like, ooh, that's a powerful one. Are we allowed to not be GMO humans? That's where it's going to come down to. And if we are trying to fix the system in the system, I guarantee you're going to be forced. You're on the system, but I need some of the system, goody of the system, and I need the system. Well, it's going to take a shot. So if you are not prepared to be outside of their system where you go, no, I'm good. I don't need to have your water supply coming in my, no, I'm good. I got, a solar. No, I'm good. I can grow my own food. No, I'm good. They're going to go, damn it. I hate when they do that. Then what are they going to do? They're going to have to force you. Are they willing to do that? Maybe. That's the battle. The battle is not fixing the system. It's outlasting or surviving the system. And I don't believe that with the Gulch people, freedom-oriented, leave me aloneist, outside of it, living a quality, healthy, happy existence, raising their children, they're either going to have to make that the enemy of the state and get the people behind going and squashing them like a bug, or they're going to have to coexist with them, or the state will collapse and people will go to that because it is a viable, healthy example and inspiration of how we should live. That's my battle. That's what's going to happen, because the only other alternative is for me to try and change the system from within. Well, you had your fucking chance, and it was called 4 years of Trump as president of the United States of America on the promise of America. Blah, blah, blah. Well, he failed. He didn't do anything that I wanted to have done. We are still a warfare welfare state with the support of Trump, and it's going to get worse. It will keep getting worse until we understand that it's not somebody else's responsibility to take care of this for us. So I'm done. I am am not trying to reform the system. I don't want to help the system. I just want to be away from the system, above the grid, and not even try and interface with them at all. You just leave me alone. What do I got to do to have you leave me alone? And I'll be a good little boy out here taking care of myself. But that will be the threat. They can't allow examples of them being ignored. They love you to oppress them. They want you to get violent. They want you to put on your camo and run out and hunt. They need that. What they hate more than anything else is being ignored. Well, watch the ignoring a coming.
You taking a breath?
That's all you now. I got to say my thing.
All right, Bob, is Ernie okay there? I just want to make sure his blood pressure's not going up.
Oh no, he's in the other room with his headphones on.
He's in the other room now. Okay, all right. So first off, bunch of things. First off, I will address what you're talking about. Bumper Hornberger. First off, he's completely tone deaf. I think everything he's saying, he's still as out of touch with what the hell's going on as Nick Sorwell, and that's why the Libertarian Party is I mean, he's like yesterday's newspaper, and they're clueless. And keep in mind, I respect Bumper for what he went up doing about the JFK, and he is considered an expert on that.
Okay, you're gonna address this. I want you to address this.
No, I will later.
You want to address it? Let's go with what you address. Separation of economy in the state, not Trump. Separation of healthcare in the state, not Trump. Separation of church in the state. Separation of school in the state.
Hey, are you already talking? You don't even know what I'm talking about. You don't even know what I'm talking about. So I heard live, you know, when he gave his talk to the economic club, sit there and tell me that I'm supposed to be taking a knee for Black Lives Matter. All right, so that's the person who's so out of touch with what is going on. So I just will start there, and I will talk about how he's completely wrong lumping Donald Trump with he's no different than Biden and the same people in the state. I'll blow that apart in a few minutes. But before we get to that, all right, he's like so out to lunch. It's unbelievable. So anyway, and that's why the Libertarian Party is a joke, and they need to reform.
Screw party.
In my opinion, the Libertarian Party the Libertarian Party needs to do the same thing. I tell my they need to do the same thing. Like, not libertarianism. I identify as libertarian, just not the Libertarian Party as it is, because they make the same mistake that the left does, which is they keep thinking this is about Donald Trump. They keep thinking we're a bunch of sycophants who keep going, bowing down to the altar of Donald Trump, and we're clueless and all of this. And they make the same mistake. They will never beat Donald Trump or understand this movement until they understand why people voted for him. But I will address that in a minute. I want to get back, though, from, you know, when I the question I asked you a second time, and trust me, I'm not trying to throw shade at you. I'm going to move on from this point. I just want to just give my last comment on it before we move on to this Trump, Hornberger, blah, 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 and you'll probably jump on me about it. It's fine. Because the question I asked you, and you don't have to respond at this point because I asked you twice, which is the issue about how we're being changed with the internet and the young people that I think, not just as a freedom individual and someone who's getting older, but also as a doctor who understands medicine and biology, it's a real problem. And I'm just gonna leave on two different last points, because that's what I keep asking you. And you keep going on, then you bring up Hornberger's lecture. You know? So the thing is, I'll give you an example. First off, we do know, as far as language, when you speak a different language, including music, but languages, and I speak a couple languages, not fluently, but I speak Japanese, a little bit of Chinese, and your brain is different. And any of you listening to me right now who speak a different language or music, you understand what I'm talking about. It's hard to explain to someone who doesn't speak another language to understand that concept, you know, how linear your thinking is. You don't even know you're thinking linear because you don't know another language. You can't think in a different way. And that's why there's the Romantic languages like French and Spanish. You can express yourself more in your emotions with these languages that you cannot do in a linear technical language like English. And your languages like Japanese, where the pronouns, speaking about picking my pronoun, but in Japanese, the entire language is different if you're a woman or a man, or if you're a higher hierarchy than or than a lower status. The word use that you use is different. And not to mention the way that you think, whether you put the object before the verb or the verb before the object, and other ways, subtleties. I don't even get into this and make this linguistics talk. But if you speak another language, you know. So your brain is truly remapped. We know this with CT scans, MRIs. It's a fact. It's a whole other discussion. But your brain, what I'm getting to is just knowing another language can change and permanently change your brain. What do you think a language of this technical staring at a screen and moving apps and doing this and doing that? I mean, just how many of us, when you're scrolling through maybe something, do you ever notice how maybe the computer screws up and it doesn't scroll, but you move your finger up and your eyes move and yet the screen doesn't and you start getting dizzy? I'm sure we've all encountered that. Like you're sitting there, you're trying to move. It's like, how come it didn't move? And your brain gets screwed up. I mean, there's so many of these changes that are occurring. Then lastly, there was a very interesting a science study that came out over 2020, one of the few things in 2020, because science things were all shut down, you know, because of COVID. And it was fascinating. This is on the Anton Petrov station. He's a Russian brilliant scientist who gives updates of cosmology and general biology each day, like whatever the hottest topic in Nature magazine or something is. It's a great channel, by the way. It's all evidence-based for you people that all have to jump on that. He did a big breakdown of all these studies the last few years that are surprising biologists about current evolution. That we're seeing that we're actually now, because of history, because we're, you know, the documentation of science and, you know, the last 100 or so years that we're really, you know, recording things, that we're seeing true changes in human beings. Now, it's not that we know what they're all about, just strange things, like strange features that human beings are starting to evolve. And when you have a new structure or something that happens, it doesn't mean it's always good. It could be just something that's moot, doesn't do anything. Or maybe there is an advantage that we just don't know yet, but we're seeing changes. Now, I'm not going to go into that right now, make this a science channel, but there's true changes. I mean, well, one is in the mouth, how our mouths are getting smaller and the wisdom teeth are actually starting to get smaller as we're having softer food. And I mean, that's just one example, but there's like five or six other examples that we don't really understand, but they're happening. But the key point behind this, Ernie, is that scientists are surprised how quickly evolution or how changes occur. And of course, we see how much we're able to change dogs, you know, domesticate dogs and have all kinds of yup, yup dogs and whatever else. So this is happening to human beings. We know it happens. So when your brain changes, learning a language, and then when we're seeing changes permanently in the genetic code that we're passing on to our children that we're part of, It's really a scary thing when you see how powerful the internet is, or computers, or Glowface, and they have three-year-olds. I can see my three-year-old will sit there and scream if she can't stare at the friggin' iPhone. And of course, we take it away and she flips out. This is a whole different world. And so that's the main point I kept trying to bring up. And I don't know if you understand why I was going back to that. It's that we're being changed in a way that the French Revolution people were not dealing with. Other people weren't. So everything you're talking about, I hear you, but it's like, okay, freedom will eventually figure it out, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, okay, it's like if you go to the gym and you work out, eventually you'll get strong. But what if everyone has a handicap and their back is broken? They all have herniated discs and they're handicapped. It makes that whole process extremely harder. And eventually, at some point, maybe it collapses, or we have to find another way around that might take a much longer time. And sitting there changing and banning iPhones and computer time when you're on your app, you know, and limiting how much time your kids are on it, I don't know if that's even the answer. I don't even know if there is an answer. And maybe that's why you're not commenting on it, and we can skip it. I'm going to skip it. But I just really wanted to bring this point home. I'm not talking about just to be funny or to go on some tangent. It's a serious issue, and why these young kids that are all immersed in this world that you and I don't remember as much. We were on the cusp. We were the first and only generation in the history of humanity that lived during a time before the computer and then during the computer. Every generation of humanity was either before the computer or after the computer. We are in such a privileged or odd, strange time, which is why we're living through these strange times, that we're going through the before. It's like before and after fire. That is what we're seeing. So anyway, I'll move on from that. So back to Hornberger and his comments and all that about, look, I'm not trying to put Trump on a pedestal. I'm not trying to say he's, you know, I get it. And he's not the purest snow libertarian candidate, what you want, you know, as Ron Paul. But if anything, Donald Trump has proven a few things, and I'll get to some of the positives in a minute. But you can see, and I've said a million times, that Dr. Ron Paul could never have done all the things that you libertarians, those libertarians, want him to do, because you see how powerful the deep state is. And so I think it's extremely unfair, especially for people like Hornberger and others, who still think that people like me just bow down to Trump and we had our brains off, just like black, I've said this a million times in your show, black people were all happy being in the back of the bus, they were clueless until Dr. King showed up and then just suddenly also put all this, these ideas in their head. No, the ideas were already there of freedom and the oppression and the problems. Dr. King just gave them an avenue. He gave them a way to communicate between them. He gave them a mouthpiece. That's what Dr. King was about. And the idiot white establishment oppressors who thought we just get rid of Dr. King and they'll go back to sleep still didn't get it. They think it was about Dr. King. It wasn't. He was a great man, but it wasn't about him. It was representing a deeper thing. And that's what I just like banging my head against the wall. Everyone who doesn't quite get the Trump issue, they keep thinking it was about Trump. That I'm sitting there like, Donald Trump's the amazing guy. I was happy just voting for John McCain, but Donald Trump came and he told me I could be rich too if I was like him and make America great again. Woohoo! You know, vote for him and I'll just follow him wherever he goes off the edge of the cliff. That is not what this is. And it's just so insulting. And that's
what
I can tell. Again, Hornberger.
What is it, Frank?
Yeah, Hornberger,
what is
and Hornberger
it?
Wants
Make
to
America
take
great again. So, what so, is it? Tell me what this
so,
is.
So I will, well, we've talked about it before. I will answer that. But let me finish my point on why I think he's missing the point of what Trump has helped expose and show about, especially foreign
policy.
He
was going to get exposed? Trump was just more of it.
Yeah. All right. So let you know, I'm going to start off with just one thing. There's a few points on this I'm going to bring up, but I'm going to bring this up of what my better half said, Savarda, when I came home yesterday. She said this on her own. She wasn't watching anything. She heard the Biden people and people on Facebook and all passing stuff around that Biden administration, blah blah blah, and this is what happened. She started hearing them talk about how all these new, how terrorism, how international terrorism is a problem. And we have to start ramping up for international terrorism and terrorism. And Savarda came to me, and she's not into this like I am. She's like many of our wives or friends, you know, she's just trying to, you know, just put up with me. Just like Donna puts up with you sometimes. And she says, Frank, you know, I started realizing, did you know that we haven't had one international, we haven't had any terrorist attack from any, we haven't heard about terrorism in 4 years since Trump? And I said, yeah, 4 years, we have not heard of, we have not been attacked by any terrorist, you know, and again, terrorist, I know guys, I get it. It's a loaded topic for terrorists, freedom fighter. I know we attacked Al-Qaeda and they attacked us back. I mean, I get all that, but I'm just saying we have not had any attack from outside in 4 years. Also, we have not had one school shooting. We have not had any domestic, quote, terrorism, unless we count Black Lives Matter and what we saw every day, except for one. If I'm wrong, then tell me. And that was the Las Vegas shooting. And that was against conservatives, fish in a barrel. The only terrorist attack we had was against conservatives in 4 years. Okay? So the boogeyman of, gotta get the terrorists, gotta get the terrorists. All we hear from the damn, you know, John McCain's and the Bushes, the Cheney's and the Obamas and the Clintons, terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. We had to go after them, go after them. Trump gets in and nothing. The only terrorist is Donald Trump himself. All the attention, all of the hate, all of the scaring, the boogeyman, stop becoming the outside terrorists, whoever they are, and we're ticking off the rest of the world. And it was the president. 4 years nonstop. I mean, my God, why wouldn't? I mean, trust me, if you're a true terrorist and you want to attack America, wouldn't the last 4 years have been a good time to do it? I mean, how weak we were and divided. And if all you needed was one terrorist attack or a bombing or somewhere, and they'd say, oh, it's Trump's fault. Trump. Blame everything on him. And yet nothing happened. We attacked this man for being the fascist and everything else. He was the enemy. Why? This audience should know why. Despite what Hornberger thinks, he's the same thing as Biden. It's because he was pulling their troops out. He was trying to de-escalate things. Donald Trump, he's the one that was trying to make peace with Russia. He's the one that walked over to North Korea when Obama was sitting there saying, oh my God, you know, we got to attack them. You know, North Korea's an imminent threat. For 4 years, we never heard of North Korea. The only thing we heard about North Korea, for the first few months, he called him Rocket Man. Then he goes over, he simply walks over there. They have lunch, they have dinner. And he goes, hey, you know, you North Koreans, I think you have some good golf course land here. And they've been gone for 4 years. I mean, this is why if you want, you should get Bumper on the show. I love having a conversation with him. So now you've got no North Korea, nothing to hear about. Russia, nothing to hear about. Right? Domestic terrorism, nothing happens except shooting Republicans. You know? And on the Middle East, what, have we heard of any Middle East problems? And remember, we're talking about a media that would jump on and magnify any problem that would have screwed up Trump's administration. And nothing.
Oh, God.
Nothing. What? They're getting Trump on jaywalking or because he's with Stormy Daniels? That's what they come up with? And I may add that the only thing they got him on, right, what did they get pissed off about? Is because he was pulling the troops out. Because he wasn't going with this process. He was trying to de-escalate. And therefore, he was the first president in the history of my lifetime that did not start a new war. The first one. Okay, now did he sit there and pull all the troops overnight out? And you guys say, hey, Trump is still, he's just like the rest of them. You know what? I'm not saying this to you, but for those libertarians and people who say this, I say F you. Because you sit there and say no violence and peace and all of this. You know what? You can't even get a libertarian over 1% because of different problems. This guy gets in. He's trying to have an America first and pull the troops back. He's trying to de-escalate. He's making peace with other countries. He gets three or four independent, separate nominations from the Nobel Peace Prize for actually doing something, unlike Obama. This is independent from around the
all
world.
Right, my turn.
Right? And
my
then
turn.
We, wait. I'm not done
no,
yet.
No, you got to make a point. Then, all right, get your point.
Wait, No. I know I'm destroying your point. I know, but just let me finish this. So then he tries to pull troops out of Syria, and he tries pulling them out. And then, of course, we find out after Biden wins, right? Right afterwards, all of a sudden CNN is promoting how deep state's laughing at him. They're laughing at how they kept the troops there, even when he tried to pull them back. Then when he gets impeached, why did he get impeached the first time? Because it was not because of anything, what they accused him of. What was it? And you and I, we covered it. All those boneheads with the little bow ties, the deep state came out of their little cockroach little enclaves, and they came out at the end of the day. And you and I, we documented it. It was the deep state just basically was pissed off that they were the experts, and they said we had to keep having these wars, and Trump wouldn't follow them. So they impeached him because he didn't listen to them. And you and I both know that. So to sit back and tell me that he's – and Hornberger, take a knee, Hornberger. Go ahead, take a knee, Hornberger. Go ahead. Keep taking a knee. I'll take a picture. You have to sit there spineless. And you're going to sit there and compare him to Joe Biden's, the same policy? You just saw a man destroyed because he wouldn't go along with the deep state and all of the machine. And notice how the minute Biden gets in, all of a sudden, on the news, I'm here, I don't know if you guys are catching this, all of a sudden, Biden is, I mean, all of a sudden, North Korea is acting up again. All of a sudden, we're hearing about international terrorism and how we have to start ramping up to be attacked. All of a sudden, we have all these problems that didn't occur for 4 years. And I'm amazed that the left will be so dumbasses that they didn't realize we have not had one problem with the world for 4 years. We get Nobel Peace Prize nominations, and the minute he's out, now we have to start ramping up for the wars. So clearly, I think there's a distinction. I turn it over to you. Tell me how I'm wrong. Go ahead. Go.
Trump did not ever even address the fundamental problem that this entire country and the world faces. There was an opportunity to do it. He had the phraseology to do it. It's what Reagan used with Make America Great Again. We did this a few weeks ago. I go, pick a speech. He's going to go on and on and on about the problems, whatever, and the solution is freedom. You look at any speech that he did, whether he did it or not, that's a whole nother thing, but the jump in front of the parade of people that wanted to have as what was America was about the freedom down to the individual to do what they wanted, to pursue their own happiness. That is not what the state wants now. And all of the other discussions about fill in the blank of everything you're talking about, foreign policy, the military, none of that, none of the actions that he's taken, none of the red meat thrown to his supporters, none of that ever one time addressed individual liberty to be out of the system. They always wanted to have a fiat system. The Federal Reserve is going to be used for a system. We're going to give stimulus, you know, to the people and equally distribute from the system. We're going to, everything that he did was inside the system. There was no challenge of anything other than the status quo, which was who was in charge of the system. Well, the bad guys never, ever, ever are limited by any moral hurdle or a moral standard or an ethical concern. They come after it full bore, any which way he can, using the system. The system itself was never challenged. There is no challenge on who creates money or the value of it, or going to, you know, gold and silver back again based, you know, system. There was always more and more and more and more money to build the military industrial complex. Hell, he created a whole new branch of the military that's now just turned over to the surveillance state and the NS. What the hell did you think was going to happen with Space Force? So now I got, you know, woohoo, we're going to Mars and it's going to have a Space Force landing pad in the middle of it. Yay. You know, then I got, did he challenge the fact that there's going to be some treaty that's going to enslave humans that escape to Mars? What is Trump and the United States freaking King George now? You know, there was never, ever, no matter what you say, Frank, there was no fundamental challenge to the system. It was only who was in charge of it, and that he should wield the power and he should decide what is and isn't. And nobody ever challenged the system. When you do life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, you could throw in property there, John Locke or whatever, but I want the ability to pursue my own happiness. So where's that in there? There isn't. The system was never challenged. It was who was in charge of it. When you get, and that's what's coming, this is my prediction. This Trump thing is not going to take off. They're going to put a lot of money into it. They're going to push the living shit out of it. It's going to be what, and then, from out of God knows where, is going to be some little old minority, you know, kid and that won't sit in the back of the bus or won't get a permit for his lemonade stand or won't, you know, a small tiny house living on a waterfall of the blah, 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 blah. It's going to be some representative of who's against the system. That's where the rallying cries will start to come. And if there's one of them, that won't be it. It has to be a bunch of them. And whoever the savior is next, oh, this is the new savior. This is the new messiah. This is the new guy with that's barefoot and got robes on, bald or got long hair. I mean, there's always some spiritual leader that will come out. Whoever that is and they say it is, it ain't him or her. It ain't them. It has to be a movement, a general public opinion of it's everywhere. That's why I haven't, made the, I know how to consolidate popularity and what thing to go on and track and all the stuff on the internet and look at me and do it. I know exactly how to play it. I've been seeing how it's played from the time that Huffington Post started, when they created after the 06 election cycle. It was very clear what the progressive and the Obama and the Soros and what these guys were doing. They were creating content that they would promote on all the other media to drive to them, to build up the numbers, create a movement or what. Then the right started getting involved. And I'm going, all right. And then when the libertarian or anarchist or leave me aloneist faction starts getting a lot of attention, and they're banned and they're deplatformed. I go, well, of course that's going to happen. Until we start to realize it's the system we're against, not who's in charge of it. There's always bad guys in charge of it, because bad guys do not have any framework or ethical context or what they shouldn't or wouldn't do or illegal to do to maintain control. They'll do any and everything,
Ernie, including
killing people, including stealing from people, including... All right, go ahead. You wanted my take on this. That's it.
No, I appreciate it. I want to put an olive branch in here. See, I'm nice and calm now. So I want to point out, have done many things. A lot of the listeners, some of them don't know. Some of the listeners, long time, have heard these stories a lot. But things you've done challenging the system. Things about with the voter fraud or trying
the
to show
system.
Your hand count to be
not who's in charge.
Hand count done. Right. To show, like, to actually do a hand count with the electronic voting, and they're like, no, and many of the stories you've talked about, not to get into the details, and I don't remember all of them, and you've done many things, but one of the things even my wife remembers is when you say, you know what, just say it, I can still hear you when I have nightmares, just say it. But it's a very powerful point, because on one hand, you are engaging the system through the system. So for somebody, and I'm not calling you a hypocrite, Ernie, just hear me out. But for someone that says, I'm not engaged in the system and screw them and turn your back on them. And yet, if anyone's engaged the system the most, it's you. I mean, you're the one that keeps attacking the system, trying to understand the system, learning the system. And so, a lot of, I'll just say, you have your piece in a minute. I think you should maybe, I do get listeners that ask me and say, I'm confused with Ernie. He keeps saying, forget the system, don't turn on it. And yet you're immersed in it. So the thing is, what I see is one of the benefits of what you're trying to do is you're using the system and forcing them. When you say it, it's to just force the issue that to show that the system's broken, to expose it, to sit there and turn on a light and say, here's the cockroaches, here's the rot. And what you rescue people want to do with it, at least I help expose it. And that is what you mean, and you can correct me in a minute if I'm wrong, is when you say, just say it, because you got them on the record to say it. And if that is the so-called principle hill and strategy that you not just die on, but that you focus on, and I think it's a very good one. But that, to me, Ernie, is what President Trump was about. You keep thinking, well, he's just whoever's in charge of all this. And it just blows my mind, because Donald Trump is the ultimate version of you who's saying, just say it. Let's see what happens when someone who's not
he wasn't challenging the system.
Power.
He wanted to be in charge of
it. No, he did. The whole rant I just did the last 20 minutes over all of the foreign policy issues. And that ultimately, I think, is where all this comes from, right? That the left and the right both make all this money. The John McCain's, Doug Ducey, our governor, who, by the way, was at the inauguration. I mean, he's sitting there. He's a pawn of the McCain machine here in Arizona, and they make all their money off of what? The foreign policy and the Apache helicopters and the Nimitz aircraft carriers, and they need wars. If you guys haven't put all the dots here, they need the wars. They need this thing going, and Trump tried to pull back, and they said no, like Emperor Palpatine. And that's what this is. He exposed it. It's like saying, just say it. What happens if I'm the president? I'm the executive in chief. I have control of the military. Pull the military back. And they don't even pull the military out. They do everything. They impeach him. They don't pull it out. They do everything.
Wow, sounds like a broken system.
He's exactly, Ernie. He is exposed what you're talking about. And I guess blows my mind. You think people are too stupid to see that. You keep thinking, trust in Trump. Trump, whatever Trump says, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it boggles my mind that you, like Bumper and everybody else in the left, think that we're just sycophants, just, like not understanding. He is exposing, just like you do, the system's broken, but he's done it in such a profound way that the world can see. And not only is he exposed the deep state, exposed the military industrial complex, exposed how powerful these people are, who clearly getting money from companies that are not on the U.S. stock exchange. Like I say, you know, what company builds aircraft carriers? I'd like to know and invest in them. But you, all these people you don't know about, there's a whole separate, another parallel economy that he helped expose, and the power behind them, and why he was impeached the first time. All of this. So, and that doesn't even include the voter fraud that he just exposed beyond any libertarian, not to your discredit, but he did both. He exposed all of this. He made them say it in a way that the world can see. And that's why I just think you're missing the point, that he's done amazing things to expose it. And to think that he didn't do anything and he's just like the rest of them, I mean, man, just, you and I are so far extremes on that point. It's just unbelievable.
But no, go ahead. It was, you know, we had like $23 trillion debt, whatever it was, going into Trump administration. I remember when they did the TARP thing and, you know, audit the Fed. I don't give a crap. I wouldn't believe anything they said anyway. You know, I'm just, you know, then it was end the Fed. And I'm like, I don't care. End them, don't end them. How about ignore the Fed? I just, you know, and then, you know, that started, you know, getting a lot of traction. They're like, ooh, ignoring the Fed, and then crypto, and then they, ooh, we get triple life sentences or whatever for Ross Ulbricht for using crypto in a free market of, oh my God, that's the real threat to them. It's challenges to the system. That's the threat. So when you have a 23 trillion and they're spending $1 trillion more a year, it's always going to be more than whatever you have. They just keep printing it. And then here comes, you know, the stimulus, COVID. Oh, well, that's $2 trillion. You know, we'll go in debt. We'll do it some more. I will do it again. You know, this system is not being exposed by, you know, Donald. It's being used by him and exposed. You know, this is when we started doing all this, and I wanted to find out. It was economics that I went after. I'm going, this is something wrong. My father's company and how the international trade, and I was just, you know, pulling a thread. I was just curious. I wasn't even working for my father's, you know, helping my father's company, but, you know, I didn't want to have work with him. He's my dad. I just know better. So I just go, yeah, this is interesting. And my dad get on, no, you should do this. Take this advantage, this program, this thing. Ooh, look, they're offering you, you know, they're, ooh, come over here. You know, take this, fill out this paperwork. I go, no. What I'm looking at is at the time in the late 80s, it was all about the trade imbalance. It was, you know, what are exports versus imports? You know, the Uruguay round of the GATT treaty, all that. So I'm going, okay, I want to understand the fundamentals of this. I'm just not looking for my handout. So as I went through and I started seeing all the fascism, I'm going, how do they get away with this? It was election law. They could do whatever the hell they wanted as long as they said it was the will of the people. And I'm going, oh, okay, well, let's check on that. Well, I found out how corrupt it was from the beginning. I'm going, okay, well, then what do they do? Oh, you got to write your congressman. Did you talk to your legislator? Did you run for office? Did you go to the press? Did you file a lawsuit? Did you protest? Did you run for office? Did you file an initiative referendum recall? I go, all right, what are all the options? And I had, and I said this yesterday, I went to Washington, D.C. I remember it was 89, 90, around in there. It was between Christmas and New Year's. And U.S. Senator DeConcini office allowed me to use their faxes. Man, when you're getting a U.S. Senator fax machine return, man, you can set up some meetings, you know. So I had a meeting with the National Trade Data Bank guy, a guy named Jack Cremins, corrupt, freaking made man of, you know, Team 100, of Moss Bucker, of Daddy Bush, of, man, he was one of the top guys. And I went in with my brother-in-law that's now a VP at Moody's, and he and I sat in his office, and I had a stack of research, and I said, look, I know what you're doing. I just want access to this information, whatever, and I need blah, blah, blah. He looks right at me, and he goes, yeah, kid, and what are you going to do about it? That finally was confirmation that I knew what was going on, that I was right, and that, you know, what can one person do? You got to pick a team. You know, team you want to be on. I won't be on none of your teams. I want the promise. You motivated me to read all, you know, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, you know, to read on some, you know, history of how the country and why it was founded, the history of, you know, then we go from the Articles of Confederation into the, we had 13 presidents before Washington. You go, you know, I go through all this and I go, you're the bad guys. I'm in Washington. I'm in the big high ceiling of the big hallways of the big, and you guys, you're inside the walls. The call came from inside the freaking house. I'm going, oh my God, you know, all right, what can one person do? Let's find out. As I was walking to the door, I just, all right, that's all I need to know. We're done. The meeting was maybe 10, 15 minutes. Walk out, and his assistant chased me to the door, me and my brother-in-law, and he goes, hey man, we just, you know, work with it. We're trying to help. And get what he was afraid of is he knew what was going on and he didn't have to get out of, he didn't have a get out of jail free card. And he was like, whoa, not me, man. I'm not with him. I'm going, wow, man, you guys are that scared. And I had the same thing happen with a woman. I think her name was Tara Fuchs. She was with the Arizona Department of Commerce when I, right before I went to there, I unveiled a whole bunch of other corruption on the state level for the same kind of crap. And she started crying in her office because of a Freedom of Information request that I had a bunch of stuff that was going to expose them. They had an assistant attorney general from the state of Arizona call me, and I guess with them sitting there so that they wouldn't be afraid anymore, going, yeah, we're not going to give it to you. Screw you. And what are you going to do about it? File suit. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, this is how it works. From the beginning, I knew the system itself was corrupt. All those that are supposed to represent the constitutionality of the system, the people in the system, but what's all the boxes that you got to go through? Well, I checked off all those boxes. And everybody goes, why did you do that? Why did you go through the system and file suit? Why did you run for office so many times? Why were you county chairman of the Libertarian Party? Why did you? So they would say it. I need them to say it. I need the documentation. I got cases, all my case law, all the filings, everything's on Freedom's Phoenix. I got, there it is. You wanna go through this? Go through it. Check off this box. Go to the press. They're lapdogs of the problem. They sit in the meeting of the committees that they're supposed to be covering as their PR department. When I started to realize what was going on, I'm going, it's over, man, until the internet. And when the internet started, I go, when video hits the internet, they're done. Well, of course, that's what happened. It's 05, it's 06, 07. You had the Ron Paul Revolution. They had flash mobs when Howard Dean, or what's his name, was running for Democrat president, and he was getting a lot of flash mobbing, and then, whoa, we can't have that, man. We don't want that. We'll let Baby Bush be in before we'll let, you know, some mob-supported guy.
The Dean scream.
No, I remember all this stuff. You could see.
Yeah.
Where we are going right now is towards the empowerment of the individual. Not that they're going to collectivize and take over something. It's that amongst themselves, they are able to use their own systems of power, their own systems of health, their own systems of food and water, their own systems of education, communication, you know, transportation. It's outside the control of the system. And if you don't have it in the system, there's no status quo to protect. There's no other people who are going to challenge to be in charge of the system. You know, we have Biden right now is dispensing vaccines to all the big giant stadiums. Oh, we're going to here. You drive by Cardinal Stadium here in Glendale and you go, woohoo, you know, they're all getting their shots and everything. I'm like, you know, whatever. You guys do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to be in. Are they coerced? Are they being forced? Are they lied into it? And how many problems are we going to have? I'm past the point of caring. I don't care. It's not my job to care for somebody else. It's my job to advocate for me and mine. And my thing is I'm going, look, I am so sure because for decades, I have looked these people in the eye. I have debated them. I've gone to court against them. I've been at forums on them. I've been for editorial boards. I know what they're thinking. I know what they're doing, and I know what they're afraid of. What they're afraid of is us turning around and disaffiliating them in our lives, just like a Klingon. Just go, break with thee, I break with thee.
You know? That's great. I think it would be a great meme. That's a great reference, Ernie. Really.
Yeah. The Klingons, they just turn you back and disaffiliate. They go, nah,
we're shunning.
We're not, you know, we're not helping you anymore. So this is why I do it. They go, Ernie, why do you, you're in the system. No one, only as much as to show how fuck up it is. You know, I mean, I am not going to be supporting the system anymore. But what do I need to do? I need to show people that you don't need the system. I need to be able to advocate for what, you know, I mean, you came out here to Bob's. He's been living like this for, God, I don't know, 15, 17 years. You know, it's beautiful out here. It's nice. He got a quality life. And all the stuff that he does to maintain his existence out here is that much, you know, less effort than him working inside the system. Because he could go back, you know, do contract work with the nuclear power industry. They're constantly begging him to come out. He can make a bunch of money. He goes, yeah, but I'm retired and on vacation. I don't have to. You know, I can sustain myself. I'm, you know, off the grid. I'm living expensively. I produce a lot of my own stuff. I'm good. That's why I worked all this time to be able to do this. Well, now with, you know, tiny impact on the earth or tiny living or low carbon footprint or whatever the hell the young excuse they're making, what they're really saying is, I don't want the stress of living in the system. And we're going to, so what do they got to do? Oh, nope, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. You got to get in your shipping container with everything a body needs, gruel next to the light rail system. You know, I understand where this is going. So what I am doing, my shift is towards the advocacy of people living a life of peace and peace of mind and being able to do what's important to them without even worrying about the system. It will implode on its own because it can't not. That is how, so for the first time in human history, we have the ability to be able to generate enough food on a smaller and smaller quarter acre to supply your family, or certainly enough that you can barter with somebody else, or you got your own cottage industry, or you have your own 3D printer, or you got your own mini lathe, or your milling thing, or manufacturing, or you're able to write code, or you can develop and do and content on the way. It's totally changed. Desktop publishing, desktop manufacturing, desktop innovation, desktop, where somebody can spend the time to have the wealth of knowledge of all humanity available to them on a device they can hold in their hand. This has not happened before. And it's a threat to those. They know it, they fear it, and there's nothing they can do about it but try and put hurdles in front of it. So I'm not worried about them anymore. I don't care. My whole goal over decades has been to warn people that there was a systemic problem. I don't have to do that anymore. It is so neon flashing obvious to anybody that pays attention. I remember Peter Schiff made a point in like the 10 election or something. He goes, you know, if you don't know what's going on now, it's willful ignorance. You are blind. Can't help you. You know, I can't help you. So it's past the point. I can't help you. You know, they start finally take, you know, Corbett off of YouTube. You know, he'll be off here within a couple of weeks. You know, they already started giving strikes and all that kind of crap. So he'll be done. I'm like, good, about time. I'm like, you know, why are we, you know, quit supporting the beast that's devouring you. Well, he's been really good about participate in the IPFS project. He's on 50 gazillion other platforms. And I haven't, you know, made a big deal in these other platforms because they're still not, you know, curing the posting, the processing issue. They can't process them fast enough that I can put them up. So I'm going, look, man, when you guys get that fixed, then we'll worry about it. So I am looking for the future. Now, where some people, I call them 2020. They're only 20 minutes in the future or 20 miles away. You know, I can't abide that. I don't got time to waste for that. I'm like looking 20 years into the future, you know, 2000 parsecs away. I mean, you know, this is the flag is on the hill way over on the horizon over there. It's just, where's the dawn breaking? Where's the half of the light side of the sky? I want to look over that way. You know, the sun will pop up, you know, it'll become obvious when it comes up. So I am not worried. Ernie, what are you going to do when? I don't know, not be there, not care, you know, be away. You know, what do I have to do? Then I'll make them say it again. All right, you guys want to play this game? Say it! Because I just keep checking off the boxes. And the boxes have all been checked. And anybody that, you know, doesn't see that these boxes are a box for them to get stuck in, then I can't help them anymore. I'm not worried about it. So my inspiration, you're on the bus, we show what can be done, how you can live, what the, you know, needs are, and communication is the big one. There's some solutions for that. And that is my activism now. Now we find a place, and I'm not there to, you know, poke the bear and have him come beat me up and do the Adam Kokesh thing, you know, come arrest me for, you know, I'm not getting whatever. You know, I'll go as low key as I can. I'll be kind of, oh, we'll check off some boxes. We'll make sure, you know, our neighbors aren't, you know, pissed off and we kind of, you know, whatever. But I tell you, what's the end goal? The government is there to protect my individual rights, to allow me to do such things, for to be in support of pursuing my own happiness. That is their sole mission for existence. That was a Declaration of Independence. When they don't do that, what the fuck good are they? To be the status quo in charge of a broken system? Yay. I don't care. You know, they're just, you know, are they advocating changing it? No. Trump never did. He just wanted to be in charge of it to do what he wanted. And everybody that got behind Trump and him being in charge of it got what they deserved. Nothing. The system is still there. And whatever growth that he gave the system, credibility.
Whoa. Are you really
trying to in the hands of Biden and Harris?
Oh, half the audience, you just want to tick them off again? Wait, nothing happened? Trump didn't do anything in four.
System's still there? System stronger than it ever was. System is more in debt. System is bigger. System's got newer guns.
Oh.
Bigger army. System's got more ships. System's got a new branch of the military. System has got, and now Biden Harris is in charge of it. You're welcome.
Exactly, President Harris. Hey, I was curious. Some people are wondering if we should have a betting pool, kind of like, you know, like a date pool about how long it takes until President Harris takes over. What do you think? No, I know you don't care. I'm just saying. I'm getting many comments on that. Well, look.
Well, the comment I'm
talking, I don't, I, you know,
the comment has been on all this and everything that I've been saying. Let me finish. Everything that I've been saying about this has been going. I kept bringing up. What made America make America great again? It was freedom, and he never could say it. Never said it. 5 years. Never said it. Freedom, the support of the individual. Well, then he's going to come in the next time, and I'm going to get freedom from Biden administration with a Trump. You had your chance. He's done.
He's not done. Trust me, he's not done. Even if Trump dies in his sleep tomorrow, it's not done. I mean, this is the same thing. Did you think when Dr. King passed away, God help him, that all of a sudden that civil rights movement just went away? I mean, I keep telling you.
What was the movement? That was, you know, content of your character and equal.
For who? Wait, for who?
Under the law. What was Trump? Tell me what Trump is. What does he represent?
I keep mentioning. He's representing the populist nationalist movement of America. He's representing the culture of America. And as much as you keep thinking about the culture, we do. Wait, no. We have a culture. And a system is, look. Oh, boy. Well, first off, before go off on that point, you know, Marxists, I've said before, the Marxists and the communists, which now we're, you know, you said yourself at the opening of this show, we are literally on day one of a communist regime. And this is not even hyperbole. I mean, these are communists. They've even called themselves communists in different ways. Socialists, communists. I mean, these are the people. So we're definitely on day one of that. I definitely get that. Actually, bring that last that last point up. I'm gonna mention that again, Ernie.
What point?
The last thing you were talking about. I lost my train of thought.
No, it's he's supportive of a system. You know this. What was it that Trump represents? I'm going to go out and fight for Trump. What, being in charge again?
Right.
Of a system? Is he dismantling something?
Okay, I apologize.
Is he paying off a debt?
The communists. Wait, no. The communists go after the three things. We talked about this before, right? Which is they go after the three things that people hold above, you know, above government, and that is the family unit, right? The nuclear family. They go after the culture, and they go after religion, and they go after these three. And Trump represents one of the last three. I mean, the thing is, Trump represented one of the last of the three. I mean, they went after religion for decades, right? They're always mocking people who happen to be Christian, especially, and that's all in the story. They went after people for the nuclear family. You know, I mean, they actually endorse and help you if you happen to have more kids and kids out of wedlock, and you don't even name the father. You don't even have to name the father, and they give you money, and they said they propagate this. At the same time, they mock fathers who are being fathers. And God forbid, if you're a mother who stays at home and tries to take care of the kids, you know, then of course they mock you for being, you know, under the control of this sexist, you know, a toxic masculinity man who won't let you, basically will keep you a slave in the house, barefoot and pregnant. I mean, these are the stereotypes that in which they've done. They've taken away the honor and privilege of being a mother. And the fact that if a father does his job and he works really, really hard, especially with the taxes that we have and everything, in order to support a wife and two kids, we'll just say two kids, so that the mother can stay home and raise the kids properly and that kind of old-fashioned environment, we look down upon it, we mock it. I mean, all of this. And so of the three things that the Marxists have said you have to destroy, the third was the culture. And we were talking about this, you know, countless times. You know, make America great again. You keep saying, you're asking what this means. To me, it's the culture. And it's a culture that many Americans don't even know.
It was left for anyone to
interpret. And that is what they've done. It could be one of those things that I don't want to say code or like a dog whistle the way the left sees it, but I think Americans, you know, just understood it. I mean, maybe it's not this technical thing that I have to keep bringing up. People either got it or
it was amorphous. It was whatever you wanted to mean.
Did not exactly. It's like freedom or you know. I mean, how many people really? I mean, for you, you hear the word freedom, and it's like intoxicating for you. I mean, you get it, and I understand it too. But for many people, the word freedom is just a word. They don't really understand. They don't internalize it the same way. Why is that? I don't know. Is it genetic? Is it learned? Nature versus nurture? I mean, I don't want to get into this whole bigger debate, but I think Trump tapped into what's left of that concept of our culture. The culture, I always say Don Rickles. I don't know why I keep bringing him up because I was not actually a Don Rickles fan, but you know, like Archie Bunker, All in the Family, you know, John Wayne, just the ability of people
say that doesn't
things.
Apply to anybody. You know, this what applies is, you know, the freedom. You know, the minimum wage laws. We gotta learn.
Well, exactly. Yep.
Income tax. Yeah, we gotta learn that all over again. Public schooling. Learn that all over again. FDA, CDC, drug laws, gambling laws.
Ernie.
Regulation, Pentagon, CIA, NSA. All this has not been addressed.
Wait. Okay. I want to make more of this. Is more like a big picture meta issue for a second, okay? And that is that, and I know you're going to cringe at this, but freedom in many ways is a relative word. Freedom is commensurate. No. Trust me, Ernie. I know relative. You're gonna. God knows. I know. Trust me. I know you're gonna flip out, and it's like half this audience is gonna think I've lost it. I'm just trying to say that freedom, in absolute terms, I agree with you. Okay, I have not gone off the reservation. I'm not trying to just, you know, find excuses for Trump, for, you know, screw Trump in this discussion. I'm just trying to say, from someone who's lived around the world, especially Japan, the Japanese people taught me a lot, is that freedom is commensurate with the unity of your culture. Okay? And this is a really big picture issue. You know, you tend to feel unfree when you want to do something different than what the mainstream does.
Yeah, if you're Japanese.
And that's kind of, and that, no. See, in Japan, everybody does the same thing. This is a big picture issue. If everyone does the same thing, and I'm going to be really simplistic. If you grew up in a culture where everyone agrees that red, the color red, is the number one color, and everything's red. You wear, you dye your hair red, and your house is red. Everything's red. Red. Everyone agrees. Red's awesome. And you turn and you go like, I prefer puce or like yellow. Yeah, yellow. All of a sudden, everyone looks at you like you're crazy. And then you do it yellow, and they say, you can't do it yellow. Well, why not? Because you have to be red. Well I want to be yellow. You know, that would be either Ernie Hancock. I want to be yellow. And the fact that you can't do it, now you realize you're not free because you can't make it yellow. You have to make it red. But if you make it red, you know, if you agree with red and you like the color red, then everyone's on the same page. And you don't feel that you're unfree. You're in the fishbowl. And, of course, that's kind of the issue. Are you free?
You're free to do what we tell you?
Did you happen to be ignorant and you happen to be in the fishbowl? And this is why I've said a million times why culture is important, Ernie, because if you follow the same culture, and I don't, God, I know this is, trust me, I feel it on both sides, Ernie, seriously. I understand from a pure libertarian freedom to do anything you want. I do understand that. But at the same time, as someone who, you know, I would study religious philosophy, I've been to other cultures, I see it from a more pragmatic, worldly level as well. You know, if you, the more that a culture is unified, the less rules you need to keep everyone
Why
in line, quote unquote.
Is it I know so that I, difficult?
But because everyone's doing the same thing.
To understand, I mean,
the more you
that the philosophy,
wait,
freedom and people to pursue their own happiness, their ways, is a culture. That is what made America great. The melting pot of you
yes,
get how many holidays do I get? How many do I gotta sanctify with a day off?
And yeah, but Ernie,
whatever the hell.
Ernie,
how about I just have a culture? You do you, I do me. Where is that as an alternative?
No, I know, but that
for over 100 years
culture. Mm. Yeah, but it's like, oh, this is why, and I mean no shade at you, my friend, but. I've begged you at some point you should take a year and go overseas and live amongst the people in another country that does not speak English and then come back. I'm telling you, these arguments will make more sense. I am not telling people
what makes you
to
think
give up their
that
right to
America
freedom.
Is the place all these great countries everywhere or bad countries want to aspire to. What the hell do you think it was?
I didn't say that. That's the point, Ernie. I'm not saying America is the only way to do it. That's my point. The Japanese are calm, beautiful people. The Japanese agree with everything.
Look,
put it this way. Wait. I've said this on your show, and this is shocking to people who, like, I mean, I know that you've heard this.
We got to wrap this up pretty soon. I think everybody's starting to get our position.
All right. We'll wrap it up. But when I lived in Japan, I saw, I mean, this is a common occurrence. People who've been to Japan will vouch for this. You will see people on the Tokyo subway. You'll see 5-year-old and 6-year-old girls in little sailor outfits with no parents taking the train back home, going to school back and forth at night on a subway in Tokyo.
Yeah, and in Mussolini's Italy, the train ran on time. Is that your argument?
What's that?
In Moose.
Oh, no.
The trains ran on time. What's your goal here?
I have a country. I live in a country now where I live in a desert in Arizona, and I'm being told, because I happen to be a new father who's like old now, that my daughter is not even allowed to walk home from school in the daytime from a school bus like the rest of us used to, because that would be considered child abuse, and I could be, you know, fined or something by the system. Because why? Because we're so afraid of each other. Why? Yeah, but why is the system deemed that we have to be fearful and
because there's a system?
It's because our culture is so divided that we're afraid of our own neighbors. When you have a
control
system,
when
you have a
you're gonna keep making my point.
You're making my point. When you have a culture that's so homogenous, which I know as a libertarian, it's like apocryphal. It's like it's a sickening thing to say homogenous. I get that, guys. I get it. This is why I see it from both points of view. But when you have a culture where everyone says the same language, they think the same way, they have the same faith, they have the same, you know, your neighbor without even having to see them. It's kind of like you don't even have to think about who your neighbor is and who they are, and you get worried. Your neighbor who you've never met is almost as close to you as one of your family members. Americans can't even fathom of that. In Japan, that's how they are. And so therefore, that's why they don't mind having their kids take the subways home in Tokyo at night. Well, Americans can't fathom this. And so there is some level of peace and tranquility of having a homogenous culture.
Oh,
and
hell. When I was a kid, man, it was be back when the streetlights come on. We lived in this kind of world. In rural America,
because people are the same.
We are so indoctrinated with what's on television, the news, and in the urban
area,
don't even know that 40% of the population doesn't live like that. You know, I'm for going back to that. I'm like, you know, no, I'm because I can. I'll be over here.
Okay.
You know, it's a system. It's the system. Quit trying to save the system. Quit trying to redefine the system. It's the system that's broken.
The system is a reflection of the
system
culture.
That is broken.
The culture is a reflection of the system. The system reflects the culture.
Bullshit.
I mean, that's what this is.
Bullshit.
I mean, that's the point.
We have been occupied and under attack from a they, them, those to eliminate the culture of leave me aloneism. They need to have fear, want, depravity, distraction, you know, eliminate your boredom, you know, whatever it takes for you to support a system. If they were to go, hey, our system is going to give you a high-speed internet, woohoo, we're in the system. But they didn't. Why is it that America, the most technologically, supposedly advanced on the planet, by comparison, has so many people with so slow of internet access? And I tell you the reason is because they're afraid of us. They're afraid we're going to have the communication. They're afraid of what's going to happen. And they have the right to be afraid. They should be afraid. And it's going to bypass them. What you're going to see in 2021, this is my prediction. What are we looking at here? January 21, 2021. And what we have on the top of Freedom's Phoenix all day today, a children's story.
Right.
It's about today. It is about the day after the takeover of what's coming. I leave that up there for that reason. You go watch that 20-minute James Clavell, you know, video play, and you'll
see I'll watch it.
What's happening. Yeah. And I'm going, this is how they've been doing it for decades. And we are there now to where there is a fork in the road. You know, you're either going to pick it up and pick your teeth with it and you whatever the hell, or you go the path less traveled, or you're going to go down the collectivist of everybody else. The party's over there. Let's all go over down, you know, by the river and be over here and we'll yell and scream at each other. And I'm like, and what are we going to do? I'm like, hey, man, you guys go over there and do whatever you want. I'm going over here. No, you're not allowed. We're bucket crabs. We've got to pull you back in. Nope, I'm not going. I'm in. You didn't see me leave. And I'm kind of you kind of see my straw man over here. You got my name and number on a something. But, you know, my body's over here. You know, I'm away. I'm what are you going to do about it? You know, oh, I got my privacy phone. Oh, I'm communicating on a IPFS and a mesh network of Starlink and Socket. I'm doing any and everything I can to get the better food and better water and better relationships and better atmosphere and better feeling of a sense of peace of mind. I mean, I am changing, and 2021 is going to be the year. You're going to see there's going to be enough evidence that it's going to be, Frank, that was not the path. You chose poorly. It's over here. And when that starts to happen, you're going to have politicians and people run and jump in front of that parade. I guarantee it. Woo, I represent the people that have abandoned the system. I'm part of the system that supports people that don't support the system. I can see it coming. It always happens. It's how I knew what was going to happen with Ron Paul in 07. It's going to be the exact same kind of thing. They're going to be, oh my God, I vote that. Oh, you're still voting? I'm going to just do it. There's no voting. There's no campaign. You just do it. You just turn around, walk away, and go over there. And it's already starting to happen. That's why when the economy is going to shit, you have all these businesses and people with means going out of business, losing their money, begging for the next stimulus. What are they doing? They're looking for land and rural small communities. Why? For exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm going to amplify and emphasize that as much as possible. And it's not going to come from a collective or a leader or a Trump saying we got to go fix the system, because fuck the system. The only purpose a system has is defense of the individual doing their own thing to be outside of the system, to not be dependent on the system, for them to be self-sustaining. That was what America was about. That is the ideal culture that we're hoping to retain of America, is individual liberty and self-responsibility. And the only way that we can do that is by just doing it. And I am so thankful that by this time in my life, at this time in politics around the world, that these means are available to us. And all we have to do is demonstrate it. Just in the last few years of food production, of creating your own housing, of, you know, the less energy it takes to cool and heat your home. Hell, the fact that Tesla's coming up with an HVAC system from the Model Y, that because they didn't want to use all the electricity to cool air condition a car in freaking 120 degree Arizona. Well, guess what? That's going to be a new system on a home. I don't need the energy. Hell, I'll run my whole house on one really super efficient panel. It's coming, Frank. And I'm going, you know, while everybody's screaming about who's going to chop up, you know, the pie and who gets a slice, I got a big giant freaking pie I'm making myself. It's going to be giant pies for everybody. A pie for every chicken in every pot.
You know what's just so freaking funny about you is that if I was going to pick, if someone said, Frank, you keep talking about culture and American culture, who would you pick as currently today, the ultimate American who in bridles and wraps themselves up in what American culture is, the freedom of speech and the humor and the history and everything. You know who I'd pick? Don't answer.
You put Ernie Hancock.
Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ernie Hancock. Because you are so freaking ground zero American culture, you don't fucking even know it. That's the problem. You're in the middle of the fish tank, and you can't even see it. You're like, freedom, freedom, woohoo! And you can't understand that you represent. That's why you have an audience. That's why that you have so much that you get it. You are the American. An American culture that many people have lost. The rest of the world does not share, and you don't know because you've not been overseas. And the culture's changing around us. And as much as you are such I don't want to sound like I'm thinking that you're old. I mean, I don't mean that. I mean, that this is what needs to be preserved. And I appreciate it. And that's why
two things
even
have happened.
Even if you and I argue about it and you don't see it.
Okay, for the audience.
I want the audience to know. I want the audience to know that Ernest Hancock is who all of us should in many ways gravitate and ultimately try to become. The problem is...
It's
a culture. It's not something to just take lightly, and that it happens by osmosis. It's something that you have to be aware of. It's a culture, whether you're aware of it or not. Other cultures and countries, they don't see freedom as obvious as you. To other countries, I mean, freedom is this abstract notion.
Yeah, why do I give a shit about anybody else, another country, or even this one? You know, this is, by this Saturday, I have with new upgrades of PiratesWithoutBorders.com. It's really just been there as we do a lot of the background stuff. We haven't really launched it as a focus of anything. We needed to have a bunch of stuff done. Well, it's getting to the point to where a bunch of parallel projects, along with, you know, IPFS and the land and, you know, us doing the housing construction methods and the power that we've been getting, and all these are parallel things that start to converge. Well, now it's time. Cameron, that did the animation for the Precariat, you know, he and a young man named Robert, Bob's oldest son, we're starting to work together and integrate it with a bunch of the other stuff. And there's going to be a big refresh. And this will be my focus. Now, the Love Bus has got to do its thing on, you know, this mandatory inoculation thing. I see that's a hill to die on for me. I may not make it to the other stuff because that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. So I'm not for me, not for anyone that I love that doesn't want to do it. You want to do it? Knock yourself out, you know. But if you don't, man, I'm, you know, what do I got to do? You got to go to Canada to avoid the Vietnam draft. I mean, what do I got to do to not take that shot? How far do I got to go? What do I got? That is the hill to die on. Hey, everybody out there, you see that? Because notions and potions forced into your flesh by the state never, ever, ever turns out well. And that is the stupidest thing to do. And I am just, hell no, that ain't happening. So that may include whatever else I do, but barring that, I am going to be emphasizing the ability to not be in their system. And what do they have to do? Is it worth it to them to force me into their system? Is it? I don't know. We're going to make them say it. But I'm just as soon them not even know I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't care. You know, I don't need their permission. I don't want their, you know, I might go, okay, well, what little permit do I need to make sure I don't need to get a permit, or, you know, I'll make my own individual decisions and share it with the audience. But I'll tell you, I am not looking to support, defend, or be in charge of the system that's devouring me. It's the system. It's our worship of it. It's our mechanism, our going to church and pulling the lever of, you know, the worship of what, when you know it's a lie. And that, when you lie to yourself, that is the most corrosive to someone's psyche and their future and the influence they have on the next generation. I'm not doing it. I'm not.
Agreed. Agreed.
All right.
Agreed.
Man, we got to go.
All right, man. Well, look, I appreciate chatting. I'm sure we have 4 more years of fun conversations, and I need to take a chill pill, and I'm going to be watching. I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to put on my favorite movie. Don't tell anybody. Xanadu with Olivia Newton-John with her leg warmers. So that always kind of relaxes me. So, but anyway, but look, thanks everybody. It's been an interesting deal. And I am serious. I mean, for the audience, I'm being a little funny too. But if you have a new title for the Trump Report, definitely send it Ernie's way. We have a number of things to talk about. Obviously, you know, we will see. I mean, I think this will be a culture war. I think ultimately, just in summary, I think that that most moderates that were kind of confused with this entire thing, and they were kind of brainwashed to, you know, destroy this orange man bad, and he was this guy was the ultimate enemy, never understood the fact that there are no wars going on, less wars, no attacks. You know, they didn't understand. They really don't see it, and they're going to be confused when the far left and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and this stuff keeps going on. They're really going to be it's really going to be a kind of a cognitive dissonance for these people to start understanding what's happening. You know, I my favorite television show, not movie, but television show of all time is Breaking Bad. And Better Call Saul is like second to that. Breaking Bad is like the best show ever. And I don't get in my cinema mode. But Bryan Cranston, a fantastic actor who played Walter White, you know, he's kind of caught up in the Hollywood machine. And, he slowly began to be somewhat anti-Trump and kind of, you know, drank the Kool-Aid for the left for the last couple of years. But when all of a sudden Twitter did the banning and all of the mass purging that we've seen, you know, I don't want to just make this all about Brian Cranston, but he came out and did a video and pleading. And he said, look, this is not America. He goes, I may not be a Trump supporter, but this scares me. What is happening? Who are the people that I thought were my family? And to have someone like Brian Cranston and other actors, not to mention comedians, we've already seen, you know, Dave Chappelle and others. This is going to be, I think a very revealing moment for many people who, just like the QAnon people who start realizing that they've been lied to, I think more people are on the other side, the Democrats and others who did not realize the game and the manipulation that they were under. They really did not see. And now we're going to see it. Now, whether it takes only 2 years to get through it or four, I don't know. Whether Trump is going to have some solution, whether a whole new network or if this guy runs again. Honestly, to be honest, I'll agree with Ernie. It really doesn't matter. I don't care necessarily if Trump is the next person. I am not a Trump sycophant. He did a great job, a fantastic job. I think he's one of the greatest presidents in my lifetime. And I'm sure Ernie will disagree, and that's fine. But I think he did so much to expose the system and how broken the system is in order for someone to get in and be elected. He broke the system about the media and how corrupt it is. He broke the system about the Middle East and about foreign policy and how the military complex that just is secret and hiding and getting all this money. They have to be fed, the beast that has to be fed. And he showed what happens when you stop feeding the beast. Oh my God. And he showed voter fraud all in only 4 years, not to mention some good things in which he did, which I don't even want to get into at this point, in my opinion. So all of this has come out. He's broken the media. He's broken the Republican Party. He's broken the overall system, exposed it, all of this. And is he perfect? No. You know, I mean, between pardoning Julian Assange, whether or not that's politics or not, I really despise him for not doing that, having the courage to do that. Maybe there's a reason I don't know about. I don't know, but I despise him for not doing that. The Federal Reserve, I get it. I could, you know, nickel and dime him on some of these big picture issues. But overall, he is a stepping stone to ultimately where we're going, to where Ernie and I think agree that this is a stepping stone to people realizing the system is broken, but they have to understand it's broken. And some people are just slower to get to that point. You know, some people, if you're a rat and you happen to have a hovercraft, you know, or a drone, you can kind of rise above and realize that the maze has no exit ramp. But most rats don't have a friggin' drone. They have to work their way through the system to figure it out. And that is what Ernie and I have argued for, what, 5+ years over. I get it. I see the drone shot. Ernie sees the drone shot. My issue is that I just give a little bit of patience to people who don't have access to it. And I realize they have to figure it out. And when they catch up, then we stop becoming the 1% who goes, let's be all libertarian. And now you've got 60 to 70% who know this system is broken, who are willing to buy a Freedom Phone and whatever else. And we can reconstruct the system both economically and also culturally, and retain a culture that some people just still don't understand, but it's a culture that is worth saving, a culture worth protecting, and a culture that I think ultimately will be able to keep to help us, not just us, but the world go through. You know, a lot of people don't realize the rest of the world honors and respects America, even despite all of our bullshit that this country has done to the rest of the world. But they respect us because of our culture. They see the freedom and giving the middle finger to King George and whoever else and having guns. They see us as the last, you know, the last rung for freedom of the world. And I'm not trying to be Team America, F yeah. I mean, that's not me. You guys should know that. But if we lose it, if we get compromised and the world has seen this, then we're in a whole new world and of just who is in charge and who's doing whatever. And I know ultimately for a libertarian, no one should be in charge. The individual should be. And we have to find a balancing act. We're using new technology. How do we figure out that the individual is in charge versus the world, and without becoming a globalist society where one person can take over the world, where it should instead be a network society where each of us plays our role, you know, a culture and talent and everything else, and in order to be part of something, a greater unit where we each keep our, we're individual, but we're part of a system. That's the future. I don't know if our generation is able to even deal with that blend, because we come from a world that's different. But the future is going to have to figure this out. I think Ernie sees the future. I think we all are starting to see this. Ernie, I think, is a little further ahead of it. But it's how we all catch up to it and make this pragmatic and real. So anyway, I look forward to the Trump report or whatever that we decide to call it in the future. Maybe the Harris report, because it's really going to be the Harris report maybe soon. We'll see. Anyway, thanks, Ernie. Thanks for the discussion. And any last points on this?
You know, along your lines, I did a 3-hour from in front of the law firm of Mark Victor. And his big thing that he's pushing is liveandletlive.org. As a philosophy, it's kind of a non-aggression thing. It's still kind of a libertarian, freedom-oriented, but it's still, you know, who's going to be in charge of the system kind of thing. And I'm like, whatever, you know, the people want to support there. Some of the audience are working with them and contact and want to help and supply some resources and what they can do. And I want to make sure my friend gets to exercise whatever in the right direction, I guess. I don't care. You know, I help my friends. My thing is that I'm not looking to support any system that doesn't support the individual. And what Mark is saying, he's going, you know, liveandletlive.org is you can have as big a government as you want. Make it a big, if you need a gazillion police to enforce the rule. And what's the rule? You know, it's a non-aggression. You know, the live and let live, the no force, no coercion, whatever. If it takes, you know, a guy on every corner to make sure that happens, peace out, man. That's what it is, because you're going to enforce the rule. How big a government do you need to enforce the rule if the government doesn't get to screw with you? So, of course, you know, if they're not screwing with you, you're not having a big government, which is kind of his point. But it needs to be a mindset. The culture of the planet needs to be that, you know, it's the individual that is the goal of everything. Well, some countries it's not. You know, Japan is a good example. It's duty to the collective, to the emperor, to the culture, to the whatever. A lot of countries are that way. And you know, a lot of religions are that way. America was unique in that, whether they fulfilled it completely or not, that's not even the point. The point was that it was the promise. It was the goal. It was the effort. And to go from a slave nation to a non-slave nation and fight a war over it, to go to, you know, women participation, to go to, I mean, we were breaking all kinds of barriers around for millennia, for the history of humanity. America was a goal to achieve, to be like, until it wasn't. And the difference is how much government do you create that you got a whole bunch of bad guys that want to be in charge of it. And it started with regulation and monopoly and, you know, protectionism and the commerce clause and all of the, you know, welfare, warfare programs of FDR. Once it went down that road, and H.L. Mencken and Lysander Spooner and a whole bunch of other freedom-oriented, you know, famous writers, authors, Mark Twain, Will Rogers, I mean, on and on and on, warned of this. They're saying, let me tell you what's going to happen. Well, it happened exactly the way they said, and for the same reasons that they articulated. It is when you got a culture of us versus them, and that we're supporting a system, and the only thing we're arguing over is who runs it. And that is what I fear Trump was. When we get the next iteration of Trump or the next generation of Trump or whatever the hell is coming in the party of Trump and all that, you know, to what? We're going to be in charge again. They do that and they will lose to the group or the philosophy or the individual or the movie. You know, I saw this change overnight when Braveheart came out and all of a sudden Scotland gets its own parliament because screw you. You know, the general public opinion was we get to represent ourselves. You want another Braveheart? Damn it. We're going to have to do something. It changes on a dime in an atmosphere of support for something. When Trump comes back or any of his endorsed groups or his Trump TV media empire of our servers of who gives a crap, when they do that to be in charge, it's not going to work because there's going to be a vast understanding and a vast turn, not towards the libertarians. The libertarians are who the anarchists and voluntarists are going to have to negotiate with the state. You know, the state, well, we need to talk to, you know, don't talk to, we don't give a crap what you say. Well, it's going to be some libertarian or libertarian candidate that's going to go to the anarchist and voluntarist and say, well, I'm here to negotiate on their behalf of, you know, can't we just all get along or something? And they're like, nah, I'm good. You know, because we're not about who's in charge of the coups and assassinations and torture and foreign aid and alliances with dictators and the foreign military bases and the CIA, NSA, FBI. We're not looking for who's going to be in charge or negotiating with these people. We don't want to have anything to do with them. And that is where it's going to go. How that negotiation happens, who's going to be under their jurisdiction, how we're going to be able to be left alone. Well, oh, that'll never happen. Yeah. Talk to the Amish. You know, how the hell did they get a separate society? When did that happen? Okay. You know, it's always based on what the dream and the idea and the goal is. If you're putting, you're going way, I keep saying this. You know, somebody said it to me one time. If you're going up, woo, I got this really tall ladder. I'm up on top of the wall. It doesn't matter if it's the wrong wall. And we keep going up on the wrong wall. It's the same wall that the statists have for us. And we're, ooh, we're in charge of the wall now. Who gives a shit? I don't want to be in the castle. I want to be outside the castle, out in the middle, low prairie or whatever. This is what's coming. And they're going to have examples on Mars in orbit, asteroid belt, moon, seasteading, in the air, on the bottom of the ocean. They can't stop it anymore. It's going to happen. And it's going to be, who's going to support it? It's going to be the guy that makes the rocket engine. It's going to be the guy that has, you know, the ability to communicate. And when you get states involved with this, then you end up like Jack Ma. Yeah, I think the Chinese need to be a little bit more open, and you're gone for 3 months. And then you come back from your re-education camp. Oh, I love me some Big Brother. I'll be a good boy now. You know, China, you know, Alibaba is who I'm talking about. Because as soon as you get big enough and you're in their system or influence of their system, you're part of their freaking system. I guarantee it. So that is why I'm going, look, it's not a system that's going to get reformed. Ask Jack Ma. He said the word reform and all of a sudden he's got re-educated. So I'm not doing that anymore. It's going to the same thing. You know, hell, Jack Ma, Donald Trump, same fucking thing. You think they did the Jack Ma anything they did different than Donald Trump? Why do you think he didn't do a whole bunch of this stuff? Because he was under the control of. Because he wanted to be in control of the system. And he found out that he's not, even as president of the United States. So I'm going, quit.
Oh, you're like killing me again.
Hey, man, I can have my opinion.
You keep going good, and then you keep shooting yourself in the foot. I'm sorry.
You think what's the difference between Jack Ma and Donald Trump? They both got, you know, rich guys got in charge, thought they had an influence, said it, and you're not in charge anymore. You know, no, you did it wrong. You're going to get re-educated.
Did you ever?
Is Jack Ma going to come out and say we shouldn't have a system? The system's bad? You think that's what's going to happen? I haven't got it from Donald Trump. The only thing he's saying is the wrong guys are in charge.
I mean, isn't it you that sat there and told me that when you have your airship, your pirate airship, that Ernie Hancock's in charge and Ernie Hancock winds up getting the hot tub and the master control
Absolutely.
Room. And you get
I'm in charge of mine.
And the windows and the foot rubs and everything.
Mine.
Right?
Mine.
So Ernie's in charge. Ernie's in charge.
Absolutely. And if Trump has
absolutely
to his own Mar-a-Lago, he can be in charge of that too.
And so if I'm on your airship and I wind up getting the closet, because, you know, that's all Ernie Lord Hancock tells me that I have to get the closet.
Man, I didn't make you sign on.
I'm just wondering, am I free? Am I free?
You're free to sign the contract or not.
All right. Well, I mean, where do you expect people to go? I mean, Ernie Hancock, despite as glorious as you think you are, you're not going to be able to be in your little resort with your penthouse with Donna having your hot tub flying above the clouds by yourself.
Bullshit. People are going to pay to be on my ship.
People.
Here's a bunch of money, Ernie.
No.
Oh, I lost him. Looney happened. All right. Well, it was a good time to lose him. I lost him. He'll probably come back on here. Well, guys, you can see the conversations that we have. You know, I mean, they're animated, and hopefully we made our points. But I'm like, you know, Frank makes it easy for me to make my point, man. I get to make my point, you know? So hopefully my point is clear. The future is not going to be who's going to be in charge of this corrupt system. It is so way top heavy, or it can't support itself. This has happened to any of these kinds of, to think that we're not a communist, socialist, whatever freaking collectivist system in America because we say so doesn't mean anything. You know, this is how the system works. And it's always, when you're arguing about who's in charge of it, that doesn't make any difference. So I'm just don't want to be under a susceptible, certainly didn't agree to them being in charge of me. And it's really going to come down to simple things. It's like door-to-door gun confiscation was a big concern. I was like, man, that's definitely goes bad every time. Drafting the children, you know, taking my sons and daughters to go fight in some whatever they have, that's definitely a line. And then now it's forced inoculation. Notions and potions from the crown forced into my flesh. I think I'll vote no. I got to vote on something, and what can I do to stop it? Any and everything I can, including hiding. You know, I just don't want to be part of that. So we'll go ahead and we'll come up with, so you got an idea for, you know, what we should call the show or something. Frank and I keep doing this because I'll argue with him as long as he wants to argue, but I'm going to be, have a new mantra and go down a different line. And, you know, before it was like, you're still voting, you know, you're still voting. Well, now you should be doing something. What is it? We'll be talking about it. Peace.